I mean, yeah, sure, it was a little weird, but on the net, it was a positive. Dude, you cannot be serious. On the net, it's a positive.
Hot on the pod, baby. Net positive, back in the game. Wait, dude, is this 52?
This is 52, bro.
Dude.
Congratulations.
We've been a year.
Wow.
Have you ever been like, that's so long, but also not long.
It flew by. Yeah.
This is the 52nd episode of the 52nd show.
52nd episode.
Some people are coming in at just at a year.
Good timing.
We welcome everybody.
Come on in.
52nd episode, and we never missed one.
No.
And isn't it true, like, most podcasts last, like, 8 episodes?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Dang, we're in the top.
We're way up there, bro.
We're way up there.
And it's
better every time. What?
We also hit top 100 on the charts this week for all-time comedy.
Listen, I don't like to pump my tires up top. I really don't. I do, but not publicly. But, yeah. Man, that felt pretty good.
That's big, man.
Yeah. We had Leanne Morgan last week.
Huge episode.
Leanne Morgan. I didn't realize how big Leanne Morgan was. I mean, I knew that.
Yeah.
I knew Leanne Morgan was a killer.
I only knew her through you.
Yeah. Leanne Morgan's a killer.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a great episode.
So good, man. She's
I like
so
talking
funny.
With comics, that but also have like talk outside of comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Leanne Morgan. What people were like, does she really talk like that? Did you see that?
Yes.
Oh, darling. Everybody said you wanted me to be like my aunt or something.
Sweet
like that.
Angel. You sweet angel.
Yeah, that was a lot. I felt pretty good after that episode.
Oh, yeah.
I felt pretty good. She was going to come make me a casserole or something like that. We love Leanne. Leanne's on tour everywhere and killing it.
Yeah, the Netflix special is fantastic.
We had that show at the Ryman. Was that before we filmed? That was the night.
That was that night, Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude,
we had a show at the Ryman. Every like Nashville comic. It was unbelievable.
I wish I pulled up. I didn't realize what was going on.
Yeah, it was like Nate was there, Kathleen Madigan, me, Angela Johnson, Leanne, Dusty. I mean, it was fire.
Huge.
It was fire.
That was Zany's 40th or something?
Yeah, Zany's 40th.
That's awesome.
Sold out.
Wow.
Sold out with no name attached.
Right.
Because nobody wanted to say they were going to be there.
Right.
And I said, so I came out like ninth or something like that. I go, so y'all are just, imagine going to like a country show. And there was like, you didn't know who was coming out next.
Oh, wow.
And it was like, I go, so y'all, like, I know the lineup. I was like, y'all don't know the lineup? They're like, no.
It's like a grab bag.
Yeah, I just go, I was just joking around. I go, ladies and gentlemen, Jason Aldean is here. And they're like, yeah. I was like, I'm just kidding. He's not here. I go, it'll be another 20 minutes until Kid Rock shows up. Kid Rock will be here.
Yep.
Yeah, Kid Rock will be here.
With no Bud Lights.
I went to the NASCAR race.
Yeah.
By the way, I got a lot of sun.
Yes, you look good.
Yeah, and I didn't, somebody's going to call me out on this. There's going to be a nurse or some medical person, but if you get sun, it takes 24 hours to convert it to vitamin D. Mm-hmm. So you don't wash your body.
Wait, what?
Yeah, you don't.
Stop it.
That's what I've heard.
No, you don't.
Yes, because if you wash the sun, hold on, don't laugh.
Stop
dude.
It, dude.
You, if you wash it, this is true. I'm a medical professional who's going to email in. If you got get a lot of sun, if you wash your body with like soap,
right.
it doesn't go in and then it doesn't stick.
What? There's no way.
Your body, it takes 24 hours to convert the sunlight to tan.
Okay, and until then, it's what? Sitting on the surface of your skin?
It's getting in there. It's just slowly getting in there.
No way this is true. Who told you this?
I don't know.
What Reddit forum did you read this on?
I think if it converts. So I like don't shower after I get in a lot of sun.
Bro,
but no, hold on. You can wash your body. You can have like soap and water.
Okay.
And you can put it like on your armpits and stuff. But like where, if you want to let that tan get all the way in there, don't wash it with soap.
So your theory is that if me and you both go get the same amount of sun, you don't take a shower and I take a shower, you'll be more tan than me?
Yes.
There's zero chance this is true. And if it is, I don't care. I'm not doing
that.
It.
I've just been doing it my whole life.
When I get out of the sun, I have to get directly in the shower.
Soap though? No,
yeah,
you can get
dude,
in the shower. You can get
so
water
gross.
On it. I checked. You can get water on it. If you don't,
so are you telling me you haven't showered since this whole weekend?
No, I got sun yesterday.
Okay.
I showered this morning,
okay,
but I didn't use soap.
Okay. bro, there's no way this is true.
I know. It can't be. Everybody's already misled by all the information.
Yeah.
And then we were on tour in Athens and Savannah.
Cool.
This weekend. Nice. Unbelievable. Go Dogs, baby. I was up in Athens, Georgia. You know Stetson Bennett, their quarterback?
Yeah.
And he's like 29 years old or something like that. I go, everybody's like doing the bark, like barking. They're ar, 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 ar. I was like, Stetson Bennett couldn't be here tonight. He's babysitting his grandkids. And everybody was mad.
Fair.
Relax, everybody. We're headed to, this weekend, we're going to Augusta, Georgia, Asheville, North Carolina. Then next weekend, May 5th, 6th, Jacksonville, Tampa. Both those are sold out, but second show's added. Fort Myers, Fort Collins, Grand Junction, Boise, Louisville, Washington, D.C., Salt Lake, Colorado Springs, Sacramento, Fresno, Thousand Oaks, Las Vegas, San Diego, and Anaheim. For the rest of the tour for the summer, we're taking July and August off. And today, actually, we're announcing the fall leg of our tour. Let me hit these dates super quick.
Get them.
Now, it's going to be huge. Oklahoma City, Tulsa, Wichita, Springfield, six cities in Canada, bro.
What?
Yeah. I was like, last time I went to Canada, I was like, do y'all know about like American stuff, like Trump and everything? They go, yeah, dude.
They're like, that's our favorite reality
show. They know, really. Yeah. They go, well, America, we know it all.
Yeah.
I go, do you know about like Kim Kardashian? They're like, what? Yes.
They
I
watch
go,
CNN like it's, yeah, in, like it's MTV.
Yeah, look at these guys. Yeah. Like, do you guys know who Tucker Carlson is? Yeah, we do. Okay. I wonder how big comedy fans they are up there.
I've heard
big. We've been up there a couple times before. We're going to Ottawa, Peterborough, Ontario, London, Ontario. And then Winnipeg, Edmonton, and Calgary. Those are just like cities where NHL teams are. That's all I know about them.
Smart.
Then we're going to Myrtle Beach, Roanoke, Greensboro, Atlanta, Georgia, the Fox Theater, October 14th, baby. Birmingham, Cedar Rapids, Springfield, Evansville, Columbus, Joliet, Rockford, Milwaukee, Reading, York, Pennsylvania, North Virginia, Richmond, Tucson, Phoenix, San Antonio, Austin, Beaumont, Baton Rouge.
I like that when you get a hiccup mid-word, you don't fix it.
No, I just go all
just
the way.
Just keep powering through.
I just say, hey, stay down. It's like intrusive thoughts. I just stay down. You know, just stay down.
Just
don't
bottle
come up
them
here.
Up.
Yeah, don't come up here. We did go to Santino's podcast.
Nice.
Bad Friends.
Nice.
It was hilarious, dude. Man, it was so good.
They're
I
so
love
fun,
comedy,
man.
Dude. Here's the thing about comedy, man. People don't understand. Like out there at these shows, dude, I mean, it's really, really unbelievable. And my show and Leanne's show, right? And Santino, like comedy and Matt's show, where Matt's on the pod today. And like his show, it's like, dude, go out and like take care of yourself and laugh. And like people don't understand, like life is freaking hard. Sometimes I say at the end of my show, I was like, dude, life's heavy, man. And all of y'all come out here and like, you know, bumping elbows together, laughing together. Cause y'all live in Athens, right? Mm-hmm. And you come in and make fun of the city and everybody's like, somebody said, this is unbelievable. And the show's been packed.
It's awesome.
So come out and see us, baby. This week's episode sponsored by stamps.com.
Yes, sir.
Stamps.com is out here, baby. When every person, moment, and penny counts in your business, you can't afford to take any of them for granted.
So true.
Stamps.com gets it, bro. For the last 25, they didn't say bro in their copy.
Right.
I added bro. For the last 25 years, they've been helping businesses like yours save time and money. Stamps.com, you can focus on your business, knowing that they have all the postage needs to cover your premium discounts with great rates. You hate your boss? Tell them you hate him and start your own business with Stamps.com. That's not in there. It's not in there, dude. It's not in there. They're probably going to take it. I'm trying to think, because that's how I started my business.
Right.
Stamps.com. I was sending out DVDs and stickers.
That's so awesome.
Up nights late, just putting them on the scale. I felt like I was like Tuco in Breaking Bad,
just slinging.
But
jokes.
It was with DVDs.
Yeah,
just sling all across the country.
Bag it up tight,
Canada. Send a little jars of happiness just out into the world.
You start slinging jokes across the border. Now you're international.
Oh yeah, international.
Different level,
start listening to Pitbull, bro. Yep. Things are different. set your business up for success when you get started with stamps.com today. Sign up with promo code NETPOSITIVE for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Stamps.com, baby. Click the microphone at the top of the page and enter the code NETPOSITIVE. Get your business off the ground. Look at us. Look what we do with this podcast. 52 episodes. We're off the ground. Flying now.
Should we start shipping out DVDs of the pod?
Yeah. You can get it on
Rogue Marketing.
Apple. Yeah, you can get it on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, or you send us. You got We'll send you on a. How are we going to get it on a CD?
Do you remember how Netflix started? How it was like they would send out your CD and then you send it back. Another one.
Yeah,
that's what we'll do. That's what we'll do. Like, all right, episode 51. You send it back to us, and then we're going to send you 52
on the same CD.
Yeah,
yeah. You got to listen to it that day,
right?
Because it's going to work out. We're turning.
Send it right back.
You know, because on what was it on Redbox? Remember they were like, dude, if you don't listen to it, it's just $1 a day.
Yeah.
But I was like, I'll watch it tomorrow.
Yeah.
That started building up.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Stamps.com, dude. Check them out. That's how we got started, baby. And they're here to serve you. And guess who's on the pod today?
Who we got?
Back to back.
Yes.
We got like, you know what this is like in the 90s for the Atlanta Braves? We have like David Justice batting third base. And then Chipper Jones was cleanup. Mm-hmm. That's what we're dealing with here.
Yeah.
Leanne Morgan comes in, knocks it out of the park. And then Matty Reif. I like Matt.
I love Matt.
Matt Reif. I didn't know Matt. Mm-hmm. But I saw that he had 10 sold out shows at Zany's.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? And then we talked for a little bit and I was like, dude, you should come by the pod. And he was like, I'd love to. Nicest guy in the world.
Dude, the best.
Nicest guy in the world.
I've seen him everywhere. Obviously, he's all over TikTok.
Yeah, he's everywhere. If you are listening to this podcast and you go, who's Matt Reif? You open your For You page and you go, oh, that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nicest guy in the world. Yep. He came by, we chopped it up. We talked a lot. A lot about comedy.
A lot about comedy, like behind the scenes comedy stuff.
And I never want to, it's funny, like as a comic, I never want to get too, like bring in my own burdens. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like my comedy show, I want to come in there knowledgeable and informed with jokes to lift the burdens of the people in the crowd.
Right.
Not bring my depression and anxiety and stress and annoyances and put them on them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always want to, and that's what I think we did on the podcast. We like to talk about, I think we talked about cancel culture, being offended at jokes, but I try to always frame it in a way that it will help everybody.
Yeah.
Not just comics being like, what's the deal with people trying to, all right, dude. Well, yeah. Sometimes people are like, have some valid points.
I like all the talk about his story too. Just like where he came, like his story is not what I expected it to be at all. And it's definitely not what I was told that it was. So hearing it from him was really cool.
Well, Matt Reif, before what did he say? Like a month ago, I couldn't sell any, not a month ago, a year ago.
Yeah.
Before we started this podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. 1 week before we started the show. Yeah,
we timed that out. He said he couldn't sell 100 tickets.
Yeah.
And now I think I talked to his manager at that Ryman show and he said he sold 20,000 tickets on the presale of his tour.
Unreal, like dude.
I love it. I like when other people become successful.
Yeah.
And I think everybody should. We've talked about this before.
Especially when they put the work in like he clearly has.
And like Leanne did.
Yes.
Leanne has got a Netflix special. It's on the Today Show and is everywhere. And she like started comedy when she was early 20s like all of us.
Mm-hmm.
You don't understand how many years of obscurity that is.
I mean, 30.
But same with me, 10, right? And Matt said, his mom was bringing him. He talked a little bit about that.
Yeah.
His mom was bringing him into the comedy club at like 15.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I always go back and forth on the language thing.
Sure.
Because this is a clean podcast?
It's a clean podcast.
My comedy show is clean.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been clean. Mm-hmm. But not because I'm like, I need to stop the swearing. I the first time I ever went to a comedy show and somebody cussed, I was looking around for like the principal to come in and like take them. I was like, is he allowed to say that?
Young man.
I just grew up in my dad was a preacher.
Yeah.
And we grew up in the South and there was no cussing allowed.
Right.
Yeah. Do I cuss? I have before.
Sure.
But I forgot to tell. I always go back and forth with artists and creative. Hey, you want them to be them.
Mm-hmm.
Did we tell him to not cuss or no?
Mm-mm.
We didn't.
No, we just let it run. He came in. We just started recording immediately.
Yeah.
Some of the beginning of the episode, you can see like, you guys kind of settling in and everything.
Yeah. Well, there is, in listening back, there is some language in it.
Yes, there is.
So I feel like Eminem when I just go to Walmart and buy those little DVDs.
The parental advisory sticker on it.
Is that what's going to be on this one?
So this one will have an E next to it for explicit.
Really? Yep. Dude, I feel like I'm going out to, like I'm a different person going out here. I'm like
the principal's gonna come in.
Yeah, I'm like walking the streets like Tupac or something like that.
Yeah.
I feel like a yeah.
Yeah, there's a little language, but it doesn't, in my opinion, it doesn't take away from the conversation at all. I think
the convo
is worth the listen.
There's a little bit of language in there. And in Matt's defense, Matt, we didn't I forgot to tell him. Yeah. Or I don't know if I have. Has anyone ever cussed before?
I think Jemima did once.
Jemima
did. I think
did.
We trimmed it.
Yeah, Jemima. She's Amish, dude. She's in trouble for that with her ancestors. Yeah. She said she cussed.
She's got an answer to that one later.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about that with her later. All right, so this has a little bit of language in it. So I guess if there's no off-color, I don't think, topics or anything. But if you...
No, it's good.
Yeah, if your kids, what age should we... Let's decide an age.
Okay. Well, how old's Lucas? Let's start there.
Well, see, the thing is, cussing's different now. Because it was when I was growing up, it was you weren't allowed to cuss until you got out of the house around, and that was 18, and that's the parental advisory. It's like, what's an R-rated movie?
I think 18. Really? 17. I think it's 17.
All right. Well, then, but like half of Matt Rife's fans are like 16. Not really. Well, yeah, but I see. I think that
they've seen worse on TikTok.
The cussing age should be lowered once you get TikTok.
Yeah.
What age are you allowed to have TikTok?
I think technically 13, but 13. You know they got it younger than that.
Kids come through my meet and greet all the time when we take photos, and I'm like, well, do you have a TikTok? And they're like, yeah. I go, okay. So nothing, your parents don't have to explain anything here.
Right.
Yeah. I'm going to say, I'm going to get in trouble for this if I put an actual age on it.
Okay.
Because everybody has a different set of values.
Sure.
I don't know. Listen first, and if your kid wants to listen, send it to them.
Yeah.
I wonder if we have a lot of kids listen. Lucas, we know one.
Lucas, for sure. Yeah. I'm sure he's recommended to friends because he's a good supporter of the show.
Yeah, it's a good show. How does he send it to them? They don't have phones.
Oh, I'm sure they have phones.
I don't know. Yeah. Let's get into this episode, dude. I thoroughly enjoyed Matt Rife coming through the pod.
Same.
Net positive, baby. Let's get into it. I was telling them before, because we came to your show last night, and I go, Matt to me looks like a guy that likes to work.
Yeah.
Because that's what I think about Trevor. People think Trevor's not an idiot, but he's like this fratty. Like, Trevor loves to work and he's works hard and he's great at it. And you can tell by all his stuff.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's quality.
It's so good.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe.
Oh, sorry. Thanks, man.
Wouldn't you say that, like, a comic has to appear like an idiot?
Mm-hmm.
Like, to be, like, you don't want to be, like, an ex. I never want to be an expert on anything. People are like, come in and tell me how you did. I go, like, business. I go, no.
Yeah.
Any comic, Nate Bargatze, is, like, looks like he's an dumb.
Yeah.
Louis C.K., Bill Burr, like, I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
So, but then if you got to come back to these level to make these jokes, any comic that's like on the top is a genius. What do you say or no?
Yeah, but they still have to dumb it down.
It's they have to be
weird.
Dumb.
It's so
but
weird.
But to come down here, you have to be up here.
Yeah.
To make a joke, like your joke about like the, I listened to your special last night. The
new one?
Yeah.
Oh man, thank you.
The trans wheelchair.
Oh yeah.
It's like, it's a great joke though.
Thanks,
it's
man.
It's a great joke.
Yeah, well, wait till the community gets a hold of that clip out of context. That's going to be great.
Well, dude, I was waiting for, because there were so many, like, bait and switch, not bait and switches, but, like, so many misdirections that I thought the grandpa thing was going to be that you brought him out.
Oh, dude, if I lied about my dead grandpa, that would be insane, bro.
Well, there are so many, like... You like on the handicap, and then like the ending is like so sincere and sweet, and then you just come in with a crusher of a joke.
Oh,
and that there was a couple, three or four times where it was like a sincere portion, and then you're like, but then I whatever that, and then I go, it was like a moment of sincerity, and I go, what's about to happen?
if I kill my grandpa.
Well, I saw the seat and I go, I don't know if you're like, just kidding. I got it. Yeah.
That would be insane, but also something I would totally do.
Yeah, that's what I was waiting for.
So fun.
And I was like, I think it was, is that all true?
Oh, yeah. All that's true.
Yeah. Unbelievable. I feel like he'd be looking down and thinking that's funny. That whole I practiced it. I didn't know.
Yeah, that's why I did it. I was like, regardless of how the audience reacts, like it's something he would think was fucking hilarious.
Yeah. Matt Rife is here, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, sir. We're
here. Should we do an intro? We never did one. Matt Rife, comedian, fellow comedian, 10 show. How many shows have you got in Zanies?
9, dude.
Damn. Come through.
Let's go.
First of all, how many nights? 4, 5?
4, 5 nights. 5 nights. Yeah, Wednesday through Sunday. We even have a show on Easter.
I'm going to a NASCAR race on Easter, but who's giving up the church to go to Matt Rife's show? He's like, hey.
Oh, the people that come to my show are not going to church. Absolutely not. You saw the audience.
They're
not getting into heaven.
Did you date a religious girl or no?
Yeah.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
And she messed it up for you.
You know, it's funny. She kind of did, because I kind of liked it a little bit. Like, there's some peace in that, I think.
Was she Christian? She was Christian.
Yeah.
Yeah, because somebody, yeah.
But, like, no.
Because when the girls said that last night, there was another girl in the crowd that said she dated a religious guy.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And then she had nothing to say about it.
Yeah, I got that. Yeah, sweet. Yeah.
People want to talk so bad. And then you talk to them and they're like,
the girl said, take off your belt.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you stayed for the whole thing.
Yeah. Take off your belt is a wild thing to say.
Yeah. Dude, isn't that insane to like yell out at somebody?
Dude, I don't want to get in like the, if men did this to women.
Well, of course.
Okay. Because some of you are like when you like hug somebody and then they like nuzzle up. Mm-hmm. I go, if I did this to at a woman's meet and greet, which I would never go to a woman, I wouldn't even know what to do at a, I don't know who I would go to, but
all right, let's play that game real quick. If you had to go to a celebrity female's meet and greet, who would it be? Who would you be a little bit with?
I mean, I'm 39.
You're 39?
Yeah.
Damn, way to bring it down to a screeching halt.
No, I'm saying when I was going to meet and greet age is like Britney Spears.
Okay.
And we had a bad 10 years of we didn't have anybody.
Who would it have to be then?
So who would yours be?
Probably
not like Hailey Bieber or something. But she doesn't.
No, it'd be like Hailey Williams, I think.
What does she do?
The lead singer of Paramore.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's not my thing. But
don't disrespect my wife.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no. Sorry. No. You're right. You're right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I have the biggest crush on her. I would be like, I would be trying to find that middle ground. I'm a really big fan of your work, but also I'm massively in love with you and trying to play it cool.
Yeah, that would be chill. Well, our friend Alyssa was with one of her friends last night that we saw her, and she goes, we were hanging out in the back, and she goes, my friend girl bought the meet and greet, but she didn't.
Yeah.
So I go, does she have does she have a plan? What are you going to, you going to come in with a joke? Do you have something to say? Are you going to be, what are you going to do? She's like, I'm just going to wing it. I go, you're done. It's a wrap.
Bombed immediately.
Yeah, just not gonna
walked
go
right up and just threw up on my chest.
Yeah.
It was a bold move, but got to respect it.
Well, we were talking before he came in here about if I saw a girl waiting in line for the show last night that was very dressed to the nines, going all the way. And I was like, I go, guys are more ready to admit that a girl is out of their league.
Yeah.
Like a guy would be like, that girl's out of my league. I'm not girls.
Oh yeah.
And we love, I have so like, they're like, I could like, Matt Rife is like in my wheelhouse. And I go, well, he's rich and he's good looking guy. And he's faint. Like what?
But it's about what's on the inside.
Yeah.
That's the thing is women just are they're not naturally built for rejection like we have to be.
We woke up and got rejected.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we already feel like trash. And you could be
not all of us.
Yeah.
That's all of us do, okay?
You could be win the Super Bowl. It's like, I just feel like a bummer. We didn't, you go,
oh, totally.
Guys.
Yeah.
Are women not like that?
I don't think so. I think you have to be we do have to be a little bit gentle.
And guys aren't particularly picky either. If you're
I'm so picky, dude.
Are you?
I have the highest standards for anybody I get involved with.
Well, there you go.
Are you trying to get wifed up?
You should.
I think that now that my career is changing, I genuinely don't want anything to do with just going on the road and just hooking up with a bunch of girls. That has zero appeal to me.
Well,
it's just, dude. Regardless of how fun it could be, that's an exhausting lifestyle.
Yeah,
man.
And I know people that live like that.
It can only get you in trouble.
I know people that live like that.
Oh, of course. Yeah. And they're 50. And
well, the thing is, I'm in a relationship now.
Uh-huh.
And the thing I have to remember is when I was single, I was still trying to actively not be like this.
Okay.
Like when I had the freedom to do whatever I wanted, I still was trying to be like, it's like, not even in a Christian way, but like, it takes a little piece of you.
Oh yeah,
I don't know. Does that make sense? Or
along
not?
The streets?
Yeah. You go. If you go, man, I'm gonna, you know, worked hard, ate some vegetables, had a good show, was very kind to everybody, went to sleep, got up, and like got on the treadmill. You're like, dude, I feel great.
Absolutely.
Then you drink a little bit and you make some choices. You go. Not even. I'm not even saying like from a Christian. Just like you go. I would not like to be like that.
Yeah.
That's it. Not like from it because God told me, but just like
it makes you feel like the best version of you. You feel productive.
Yeah, and that other way, I guess I was lying a lot to women to hang out, or I was saying I was not being my true self, and that's what I always was like. I should have been more like,
and that, but that in honest. And of itself is so exhausting. Like it takes energy, exhausting. It takes time, money sometimes. It
takes a lot out of you.
Yeah. It really does. Yeah. Sucks your soul out, someone said. I'm also just, I'm not out here just like sleeping with a bunch of girls.
Yeah. We never said that.
No, I didn't take it that way at all. Yeah. I just wanted to clarify for the public.
Look, he looks right to the camera.
Break like, the fourth wall. It's just not really my thing.
Yeah.
I enjoy meeting new people, and any person I get involved with like that, like I'm interested in having something long term with.
Yeah.
And whether or not that comes to fruition or not, that's you know, that's up to our connection and how that works itself out.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I think our job is like so chaotic, and it's very like there's no structure to our lives.
Zero.
So like I think having that person to kind of be that solidarity for you.
Yeah, you're just, otherwise you're just out here.
I need a person that's going to like feel like home to me.
Yeah.
Because everything else is chaos.
And when you say, hey, like that, that weekend or like that Albany, New York was bad for me. Mm-hmm. Or like, you're like, it just, but if you have someone that knows the history of all the other ones, what a good one is. And when you say, yeah, they just didn't, that she knows what that means.
Yeah.
And you go, yeah, otherwise you're just like, nobody can really understand.
Of course,
that's the best way to put it.
And that's so hard to find too, because like, I don't necessarily want to date somebody in the industry, because like there's so many
another comic.
I just mean entertainment in general. Definitely not comedy. Probably not acting. Music I could do. That's different enough.
Yeah, we've discussed this already. The girl from Paramore.
Yeah, exactly. I'm still shooting my shot in just different subtle ways.
You gotta leave that door open.
Because like you need them to understand for stuff like that, but you also don't want them like too involved in it, because you know how shitty it is.
Yeah,
you know?
And then if let's say like you get something and they don't get it, or like what you, we're both trying to.
Yeah.
Like if your album goes whatever, like, and then, yeah, I have too.
They're like, they're jealous of it. Yeah, you're like, dude, come on. Like, you're supposed to be like happy for me.
Two comics. I know several. And it's like,
oh, dude, I could never date
another comic. Has that ever worked for anybody? Have you ever seen Segura and his wife?
Oh, yeah. They're great. And their podcast is so good too.
Who's Hannah Berner dates a comic, right?
I don't know.
She's a comedian.
Everybody talks about her. And I've heard nothing but wonderful things. Great. I just don't. Yeah. I don't think I've met her.
She dates a comedian, older. Yeah, they got married during COVID or something like that.
Rich Voss is also married to Bonnie McFarlane? I want to say.
Well, who's the Bonnie McFarlane? Who's the girl we were talking about last night that was like super attractive that was through Zanies? Remember we were talking about it in the green room, and she's like, but her like. It does, like we were talking about Louis C.K. He's like,
okay,
old. He's old, bald, like a little bit overweight. Like, there's no other reason you're coming there except for jokes.
Yeah,
and it gets a little.
I do envy that.
Well, it just gets a little tricky because of your audience, I guess.
Yeah, and that all goes back to like yelling out, "Take off your belt." Can you imagine? Like, that's an insane thing to do at any live. I find myself like so many of my audiences that come have never been to a comedy show before.
Yes.
They don't really care about stand up. So like, I'm having to like be their first introduction and be like, "Hey, it's okay to laugh at stuff. It's a safe place for that.
This is allowed,
and this isn't the place to act rambunctious and crazy. Like, it's
well,
not
you say
concert.
That right up front. You're like, "Hey, shut up, everybody, shut up."
I try. I really try. But yeah. some people. I don't know if you know this, but sometimes even when you do that, that gets a big uproarious laugh. Everyone's like, he told me to
keep going. You're like, I'm gonna yell louder. Like literally, no,
dude. It's like. It's like having like a bondage fetish. You know what I mean? Where like you love what is that kink when people are talk down to me? Because it's an insane.
He hates me so much.
Oh, dude,
that's not good.
So many people come to shows and they're like, I hope he just roasts me and makes me cry. I'm like, what's wrong with you?
Jeez, dude. Yeah. I don't know. What's the attention? Probably
it has to be.
But is that did that only start since the crowd work was online?
TikTok, yeah, dude.
Yeah, so what's before that, it wasn't that.
No, because I wasn't posting anything before that, dude. I don't really post my stand-up
clips. What were you doing with the Wild and Out clips?
Trying to forget them, really. Dude, every single day, I would say 10 to 20 people tag me in an old Zendaya video when I was like 19 years old. And I'm it's 9 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the one that always comes around. That's the one, funny.
Yeah. Well, it's... We've always like talked about how if they're like people are trying to like cancel Christopher Columbus because I was like, yeah, you're applying today's virtues to 1492. I don't know whenever it happened.
Yeah.
Columbus sailed the, but you go, yeah, but it wasn't like that back then.
Yeah.
So back then you could say like, you go, yeah, but he, look what Matt, I go, yeah, but that was then.
Yeah.
It's that we don't. The definition of progress is you go, yeah, I probably wouldn't do that now.
No, well, of course.
That's how that works.
And we can cut this if it's too controversial. The only problem I have with the whole Christopher Columbus thing is like, yeah, what he did was dumb. Yeah. But also, every single civilization today was conquered by somebody. Doesn't mean it's right. Yeah. But like that's how shit got done back then.
That's
it's
like insane. Bill Maher had a bit about, he goes, virtue signaling people that are acting like if it was in slave days, you would have been the one that like, guys, I don't agree with this. You wouldn't have.
Yeah, you're such a liar.
You're a liar.
Now, dude. You could have been like the nicer one.
Out of everybody. But
you still would have. Yeah, you still would have.
Out of everybody. Yeah. You think you were going to be ghost, guys, I don't think we should be doing this.
No.
Really?
No.
That's a tough angle to sell.
Yeah, people, oh God, what is this obsession that people have with like trying to convince other people they're the best person who has ever lived and they've never made a mistake and all their opinions are popular? That's insane to me.
That's a,
people are so delusional with themselves.
Then I go, I don't say anything about, I go, I don't know what I'm talking about. I've, you know, because the people that go, I go, I think this, but maybe also not this.
Yeah.
And I feel like you're, comedy, and I watched a special last night and the show, it goes, it's like, guys, I come in peace.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you're like, hey, thanks so much for coming. I wish I could meet every one of y'all. I wish I could come to Christmas with your family. I can't.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't say that, but you go, that being said, let's have a little bit of fun.
Yeah.
And I have no anger inside of me.
No, like I just want all of us to feel like we're hanging out. You know what I mean? Like the epitome of like a comedy career for me would to be able to do the exact kinds of jokes for my, find an audience that feels like my best friends that I could shoot the shit with on the couch, say whatever crazy funny shit I want because and everyone understands this is a joke. This is all of our collective sense of humor and the stuff that we find funny.
And the girl, the joke about like the wheelchair girl, like she was she was laughing. But it's anyone who like is offended at that joke is not in a wheelchair.
Absolutely.
And they're defending people in a wheelchair. I go, send it to them. I say that about my stuff all the time. Like, I can't believe you made fun of Mexicans or Catholics and are like, send it to them.
Oh, absolutely.
And they would be like, that's hilarious.
Oh yeah, dude. I had this chunk of my last hour that I ended up not putting in the special. Just for time restraints, and it was just like probably the most controversial part where I talked more about like the trans gay community, whatever. And it was still very positive, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, still joke being told in there.
Yeah.
And there's
about been, that topic.
I can't and I can't tell you how many shows I would be doing that material. And somebody would yell out and be like, oh, that's like homophobic or whatever. Yeah. And somebody gay in the audience would go, shut up.
Yes.
Like, you don't speak for us.
No.
And even the thing is, and this is going to be so divisive, any person in any group who still gets offended, even if you're talking about them, that's fine. You're totally in your right to get offended at a joke being told about you. But again, you don't speak for everybody.
No.
I can't tell you how many people who are maybe Hispanic will come up and be like, do more Mexican jokes, man. I was really waiting for more Mexican jokes.
Go after
like,
us.
Hey, hey, tell everybody else that, okay? You're making requests.
And speaking on behalf of a white, usually women, speaking on behalf of another race is, you don't see the irony in that?
It's
you're
insane.
Speaking for them. You go, they don't like it. Let them speak.
They don't have a voice? That's
it's,
insane to
it's
me.
It's wild, dude.
It's the new, really Christopher think, well, Columbus.
Yeah. The new Christopher Columbus. Oh, really? Gosh.
We'll take that.
Well,
I will say, and this you impressed me so much because, and I know you probably get this a lot, but like being a clean comic is so hard, dude. I literally could never do it, and I took the complete opposite turn.
You could do it.
I tried in the younger years of my career. I was like, let me be at least like TV friendly,
and then
it just didn't happen for the longest time. Yeah. So I literally got to a point where like in comedy, I don't care about offending anybody because everyone's always going to complain about something and you're not going to.
They complain
everyone.
About me. So you go, oh, there's no, oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You just don't fit in their box.
No, I at this point, my goal is just to like, there's going to be people who don't like me. There's going to be people who find me wildly offensive.
Yeah.
But that's going to happen regardless. So how about I just try to find my people?
Just And if somebody loves, let's say they saw one bit about something, came to your show, mine the same, or I got a girl that loves the show, brings her friend, and she goes, man, not for me.
Mm.
That's fine.
Yeah.
We can, good to see you. I went to the show, not for me. I like whoever.
Mm.
Fine. I was at a show, I've told this story before, Sarah Silverman was at Zany's, who I like Sarah Silverman. Mm. I thought, as a Christian, she said a joke to me that was across the line.
Interesting.
And I just go, and I just... I just left. Mm-hmm. And I didn't write a blog. I didn't go,
you just went,
at Sarah.
Yeah.
I go, but
this isn't my interaction.
And that's what you're saying. You're allowed to not like you.
Totally.
If you say, I'm Matt Reich, not for me.
Yeah.
Awesome. You don't get to, but I was at the Sarah Silverman show. Everyone else was dying laughing.
Mm-hmm.
So I go, for them, that's, you can't say she's not funny.
No.
Because she is to them.
No, because comedy is it's an opinionated art. You know what I mean? Everyone's going to have a perspective on it. And no matter what it is, you're right. If you think I'm funny, you're right. If you think I'm not funny, you're right.
To you,
it's totally okay.
You're allowed to say that. Yeah.
Of course.
Now, getting on and saying, who was it that said, like, what planet do you live on? Do you think you deserve to live a life where you're not offended?
Yeah.
Like,
you watch a lot of Ricky Gervais?
Maybe that was it.
Yeah. No, me too. I love it.
Where'd you think you were allowed to? So everything that this other person who grew up different than you was raised different, a different set of values.
Yeah.
So you think you're going to go to his show and he's going to fit into your values.
That's insane. That's the really cool thing about performance and for comedy and for music as well is like you're performing for hundreds to thousands of different personalities.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What are the odds, Daniel? You walk outside and you meet 2,000 people with the exact same sense of humor you do. That's incredibly hard to find.
Impossible.
Right? Exactly. Yeah. So that's what you're trying to bring to your show. And you're trying to make 2,000 different personalities and different senses of humor come together and like what you like. It's a hard thing to do. But, you know, that's the searching process.
And if you see, Ziver, like, if someone gets up and leaves, that happened to us last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Is that hard for you or no? You
don't care. At all. I go, cool. It wasn't free. It happened,
dang,
actually not last.
But like with the purse, they kind of, they do a whole thing about leaving.
So there was, the first show's Wednesday night at Zany's.
There was
the joke I did about the whole airplane thing and the woman talking shit to me online I told a joke. It wasn't a joke. It was a true story about a person. I'm not going to ruin the joke because come see me on tour. this person was talking shit to me online.
I told one of your jokes, but that doesn't count.
It was the worst version of it. It was,
you know the joke where you do it.
Okay, yeah.
This week's episode brought to you by Henson Shaving, baby. Oh, we got a new ad partner, baby.
Yes, sir.
Welcome aboard.
Another one.
Henson. Oh, really?
Another one.
Yeah, that's not in the copy.
No.
Henson Shaving. Ladies and gentlemen, they got it all. Top to bottom. I mean, a razor unlike anyone ever I've ever experienced.
I'm not even going to mince words. This is the best razor
don't
on the planet.
Don't mince them up, bro. Don't
this is
mince
the best
up.
Razor on the planet.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, I mean, it's nice.
Yes.
You do feel different.
It's the best. They sent this and I had it. I waited a couple of days. Honestly, I was like, yeah, I don't know how good this could this be. It's yeah. another razor.
Yeah.
I tried this thing. I have very sensitive skin.
Mine with my neck.
And so, yeah, my neck for sure. And yeah. so like, usually I'll just kind of let it go, but my neck bothers me
same
a lot.
With mine. Yeah.
And so I tried this thing and I was told that, you know, we had the onboarding call.
Yeah.
We're told that it was going to be like game changer as far as skin yeah. sensitivity and everything.
But everybody says that.
Everybody says that. Nah, and it. Everybody's always like, oh, the more blades, the better.
Yeah.
This is one blade.
It's different.
And this thing hits different.
Yeah.
Zero razor burn.
Yeah.
Close
well,
shave.
I said, remember awesome. What I said on the call? Because we all have like an onboarding call with new sponsors. I go, like, everybody's like obsessed with like skincare.
Yeah.
Skincare. Make sure you want to look young. You make sure you want to look, like we were on the sun yesterday and Lydia was like, wear sunscreen. Don't want to get wrinkles. Don't want to get, right? All yep. this stuff and all the things women and men more now do to take care of your skin. I was like, that's wild that we do all that. And then we run a piece of metal. And don't never ask,
yep.
never. But we like we. I got an AM lotion. I got PM lotion. And then we're like, whatever we're doing with the razor, just you're just taking like a weed whacker to your face. When did you start shaving?
Probably like 16, 17.
I mean, I was a little behind that. I was probably. I mean, I went to college. I think I remember buying a razor uh-huh. first myself. Yeah. Yep. So from 18 to.
Eternity.
You're yeah. just. I mean, that's a whole. But not with this.
No, I'm smooth.
Nah, Henson shaving, baby.
You this is so this smooth cow? That not only did I shave, you know, down on my neck.
Yeah, yeah.
I was then like, you know what? Run I'm feeling up. Bold. And I went up the other way to get real close.
Nah, see,
no problem.
You can't usually do that.
No.
Henson, bro. Henson blades are like diving boards. Really?
Whoa.
The longer the board, the more wobble.
Mm.
Ooh, you know what? I like that. The more wobble, the more nicks, cuts, and scrapes. A bad shave isn't a blade problem, and it's an extension problem.
Ooh.
Oh, now we're getting in. This is why.
This is some technical shaving.
Yeah, we are on the other side. Whenever you use the products and then people are like, you look like a nice clean shave or like a nice haircut, you're like, oh, the product.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yes. yeah. The product's yes. working. When other people... Precision by using aerospace grade CNC machines. Henson makes metal razors that extend just 0.0013 inches, which is less than the thickness of a human hair. Dang, I didn't know any of this.
You can't even see it. It's crazy.
You can't?
No, like when you put the blade in the thing, you can't even see it.
Boom. Clog-free design. It gets better. The razor has a built-in channels to evacuate hair and cream, which makes clogging virtually impossible. The best razor. It is. Seriously, Henson shaving. Wants to be the best razor, not the best razor business.
Mm.
That means no plastic, no subscriptions, no proprietary blades, and no planned obsolescence. I know what that is from Mr. Strong in Econ 101 in junior high school.
Ooh.
Planned obsolescence, you know what that is?
No.
That's like when iPhone like goes bad after 2 years. So you got to get the new one.
Got it.
No planned. That's a wild thing to put in copy.
Yes,
though.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's counterproductive.
Yeah, and no planned obsolescence. You're like, oh, now we know what it is, but yep. they don't have it. Let's see. The Henson razor works with standard dual-edge blades to give you that old school shave with the benefits of a new school tech. Once you own a Henson razor, it's only about $3 to $5 per year to replace the blade.
That's crazy when you compare it to like the you know, we have 6 blades and you buy them in 4-packs yeah, and they cost $25.
There was a SNL commercial that was like 1 blade, 2. Because remember back in yes. like it was starting to get up to like 6 blades yeah. and you're like, all right, how many blades? And it was like 17 blades.
Yeah.
yeah. And they're just back. This is the OG. They got it figured out.
Is it?
Henson, baby. Hello, Henson. Fetch me my razor. What language is that? What accent is that? British?
Yeah.
Hello, Henson. It's time to say no to subscriptions and yes to a razor that lasts you a lifetime. Visit hensonshaving.com/netpositive. Pick up the razor for you and use the code netpositive and you'll get 2 years worth of blades free with your razor. You just make sure you add them to your cart.
Wow.
That's 100 free blades. What? That's 1 blade a week?
Yeah.
Dang, my hair doesn't grow that fast.
That's great.
1 blade a week when you go to Henson, H-E-N-S-O-N. That sounds like a cheerleader in high school. H-E-N-S-O-N. What's it spell? HensonShaving.com /netpositive and use the code netpositive.
Did you have that? Did you have that same perspective before everything started happening for you? Or
Which perspective?
Like if people getting up and leaving, or like being like, I don't care if people are offended, because no, we couldn't really afford to.
Yeah, no, you used to want to please everybody,
and you got 30 people. If five leave, you're like,
yeah, you're like, was it me? But then you also look around and you go, all right, if what Zany's hold, 275, if 273 other people are enjoying the joke,
I think I'll be all right. Maybe
it's you. You know what I mean? Like you getting offended at a Sarah Silverman joke.
Yeah.
That is technically on you for not being on board with the joke. Yeah, but there's nothing wrong with that. But
you're allowed to.
You're totally allowed.
And every comic, I think, would say that.
Yeah.
There's no like, you don't get, like, I don't think, everyone deserves the right to, it's like peace. You should be offended about some things. You should stand for.
You know, it's funny. I'm not.
Nothing.
Dude, nothing offends me.
Well,
that's probably not okay. I don't know if I'm dead inside.
Yeah.
empathetic? Is that what it is? Maybe I lack empathy. I don't know. There's like, just joke-wise.
Oh, joke-wise. Yeah.
There's nothing that it could offend. Yeah, you can make jokes about my dead grandpa. My friends do it all the fucking time. Yeah. And I'm like, this helps me heal through it, actually.
So I feel the same.
Was that a switch that flipped, or was that always you?
I think it was a switch that flipped, partially to do with like the whole woke cancel culture. Yeah, everybody's upset all the time at everything. And I just go, you know,
feels
what?
Good to be upset.
I can't feel bad for everybody. I can't get upset. Yeah. People, because that's what people do online most of the time. Yep. And it's like, that's their entire personalities. They go, let's cancel this. This is not okay. This is not okay. That's not okay. Your life sounds absolutely miserable. You're so worried about all the wrong going on in the world. You're not even enjoying yourself. How long are you on Earth for?
Yeah.
80 years, maybe, if you're lucky.
It's already half over.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, fuck. Oh,
that hurt. You said
that
it.
That hurt that's me. Offensive. I'm sorry.
That's the line. There
did I cross the line? I'm so sorry.
Well,
all that stuff was happening, and I just went, you know what? If everyone's it's literally crying wolf.
Yeah, it is.
Everyone gets so upset about things that I go, this is such a minuscule nothing thing to you in your life, that this is what you're going to dedicate so much time and energy to. I go, fuck this. If everyone's going to complain, if everything's sad, nothing's sad to me.
Then
it loses its importance.
You go, oh no, I don't want to not hang out with you. Like, we have some people that are on our staff that are trans, that work in our video team, that they're amazing. I was like, and some of those people are like, the people on Twitter are like, I don't want to not hang out with you because you're trans, because you're terrible. You sound not fun.
When did that start to get grouped in? And
you're just not,
you're a little bit older than me. Yeah, so like, you maybe, older, like, yeah, how, yeah. When did it start to happen that everything got like grouped into a certain category of a person? Like, and this is totally, I'm speaking broadly here, but like if you use trans employees for the example, it's like you say like this specific group of trans people are wonderful to be around.
Awesome.
They're fantastic.
Hilarious.
Right?
Great at jokes.
Absolutely.
Great at telling jokes, listening to jokes, hard work.
So when did it start to become like a societal thing that if you don't like somebody, it's like, oh, it's because I'm this kind of thing. Where it's like, no, most of the time it has nothing to do with that thing. It has to do with you as a person. What's on the inside?
Yeah,
you
know? Fortunately.
The ovaries. But it's either. You know? I'm kidding.
I looked at Keely and she was like,
just joking.
We have a joke every time I say something that's like across the line or about women. I look over there and go, hey, are we, is that allowed?
It's not making the cut. Got it. Understood. Just text it to me. Well, put it in the group chat.
I was going to ask about, do you think part of that, and maybe, I don't know if it was from Wilding Out, but it was from your, like, the Black community does that so much better. Fun of, like, just brutally, like, roasting. That's, like, more welcome in that culture.
Oh, absolutely. It's encouraged. And I think
it's like a sign of love that you
really
came
in.
Like, if you roasted, you're like, you guys thought about me this whole afternoon?
You put in so much energy to tear me apart.
I'm honored.
It's like, it's such a thing of endearment, and it's so necessary. It toughens your skin, and and I talked about this in my first special, actually, because I got in trouble so long ago.
Yeah,
I got canceled again.
Yeah,
because I have so many Black friends, like so many people all the time. even the comments today, people were like, oh, he talks like he wants to be black or whatever. Like, I grew up with all of my friends being black. Yeah. So like, that's a culture I'm very like, I like to think I'm relatively educated in, and I'm very comfortable around. Yeah. So we would roast each other all the time.
But they can tell that from the content.
Totally. Like, if you watch me at all, you could totally see that.
What is that one TikTok? He's like, that guy has to be black. Whatever that TikTok
clip was. The dude laughing in the audience.
Yeah, you got that guy's black.
I can pick out a black dude's laughing a mile away, dude. It's the most peaceful.
And I say all the time, I go, white people, look over there. I do that in my show. I go, they are laughing.
Absolutely.
It's like, what is this horse, this high horse you're on?
Well, I mentioned it in the first special. I think black people are so good at that because they themselves do live such a harder life than most people that like to them, they go through so much shit already.
Yeah.
The last thing that's going to offend them is a joke. Like they go through real shit that should actually offend them.
Yeah.
That like a joke is so minuscule compared to the things they actually have to go through. It's people who have actually had no real problems that are like, you think a joke hurts?
And like
dude?
Facebook moms group, they're like, well, yeah. I was like,
oh yeah, like you've never been for real. If you think if a joke hurts your feelings, you've never been for real bullied, dude. You never have. You have, because like a joke is a joke. You ever have someone say something that sounds like a joke, but they're so
serious?
Yeah. That hurts.
Yeah, that hurts bad. Yeah.
And people should know from comics, 99% of the time, even if we're saying something that sounds like we're being serious, we're probably not.
And if the worst, I remember our high school principal said, because everybody, you know, there's a lot of people bullying each other in high school. And he's like, the only thing worse than this is being ignored.
Mm.
That they're not, they're like, if you like Bert Kreischer or whoever one of our buddies was, that you're like, I know enough about Bert to roast him.
Yeah.
Or like people doing impressions.
That's a very good point.
People doing impressions of Theo Vaughn, right? Because we've ingested enough of Theo that we... Then you go, hey, like we make jokes all the time about different, like we do a lot of NASCAR jokes and you go, all the drivers and the small third tier drivers are like.
There's tiers?
Yeah, like drivers that don't have enough money to like win.
Is that a real thing?
Yeah, it's a real thing. Yeah.
Dang.
But you go, hey.
Inside scoop.
You go, hey, put me in the, you go, hey, put me in like the roast. I go, we don't know enough about.
Yeah.
I know, really.
Not
that's
relevant.
That's when it, yeah, that's yeah. when it like hurts the most.
That's going back to what we were talking about earlier with the fans being like, oh, I hope he roasts me. It's like, well, sometimes there's nothing to roast about you. Sometimes there's nothing interesting about you, really.
But if you,
if not in a mean way. It's just sometimes you're a regular person. Yeah. You ever do some crowd work regular. And they're like, where do you work? And you're like, where do they work? And they're like, nothing. I work a family restaurant or whatever. Like, all right, well, what about the wife? Stay at home, mom. You're like, cool.
Yeah.
Wholesome ass family. Yeah, got it. Why nothing did you, funny about it.
But if somebody's wearing something or looking like somebody's wearing like a sleeveless shirt in the front, you're like, I got it.
Exactly.
I'll just log this. For later.
Of course. Something sparks your interest. Like, you can't force it.
Yeah. And that's what the rednecks, or you would call like Southern or like the NASCAR type. These people are like good with jokes.
Yeah.
They're like, I'm wearing jean shorts and a mullet because I'm in on it.
Yeah.
I'm like, you roast me. But like, there's some people like, it's not fun. I'm like, no, it is.
Yeah, I really like this outfit. I picked this out for a special occasion.
Yeah, he knows.
Like, why are you taking it so serious, man?
Yeah, relax.
The best thing for me is like when my group of friends and I are like about to like go out for a night or something, and we all meet up to head out together, and you get there and you see everyone's outfit, and you're like, what? Somebody's wearing something ridiculous,
and
they sit there, they take it. You're like, okay, let them have. But can you imagine being friends with someone who you can't make jokes about their outfit?
That's
or
tough.
Something.
Yeah,
you'd
be stopping. Inviting them.
Yeah. Well, you'd be like, come on.
Dudes
man.
Are better at that. Dudes will like, dit, come on. Like we were talking that if our biggest red flag that our security watches for at our meet and greets is a woman by herself.
Interesting.
So a woman alone is like, hey, like, cause the girl goes, I'm rolling solo tonight. Yeah. So if same thing switched, if you were going to the Paramore meet and greet with your buddy.
Yeah.
If you were doing something out of pocket, he'd be like, dude.
Yeah.
Or like putting cologne or what it was doing, or like I wrote her a note. Mm. He'd be like, dude.
Yeah.
He would roast you because guys don't like, they don't go, dude, I'm going to wait in the car. I'm not participating in this.
No. They would be brutally honest.
If you had a note, or if I was with a guy and I was in that situation, I would try to sneak it to the girl without my buddy. knowing.
Oh yeah, you could not let him
know. He would go back to the group and crush you for the rest of your life.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. You know, you cried in line, right? Like you would roast your friend to no end
forever. He's like, no, but I feel like a connection with her. For me, what?
Yeah. Oh, that's
dude.
Anytime I even like a girl and I start to tell like one of my friends who you met last night. Yeah. Anytime I'm like, yeah, man, I think we were like really good. Like, oh, here we go. And I'm like, no, dude, no, I do. Dude, and she's like, shut up, dude. They never let you have any fun,
no,
man.
Dude. Well, have you ever done it live where somebody like just reacted the wrong way?
What do you mean?
Like everybody's there. They see your stuff. They go, we're, and then you went.
Oh, like roast somebody?
Yeah, and people, that it went bad, went south?
I don't think so.
Because you would never, if you would notice if they weren't, you would bail on that. Would you or no?
Yeah, I would definitely notice. And I don't know if I'd bail or not. It would depend on the circumstance. Is it a playful roast or am I handling a heckler?
Yeah. So if somebody yells out and you go, like, I always like to, you have to identify you want to be in the show. Mm. So if you yell out or are wearing something or are sitting in the front, have a poster or something, you're like, hey, I want to be, and the yours too. You probably have too many people. But if somebody's just sitting there, just enjoying the show and you're like, look at this freaking, and you're like, they're like, what? But that would be impossible to be at your show in the front and not know
you would
about
think.
You.
At this point, I think that, I think you can come to expect that. I don't think I've ever had a problem with that. No. And it's usually, and I'm never really mean. You know what I mean? I like to think that I have a way of roasting people that it's like, you can tell, like, I'm just fucking with you.
Yeah,
you know
just
what
messing
I mean?
Around.
Like, that has to be the tone of it. You know? You don't want to come across like an asshole. That's not fun.
It's not fun for anybody. Know?
So, like, when a heckler does it, that's the best, is because especially when the audience is already also against them, when they're like,
oh, yelling out too much.
When you can hear other audience members going, oh, shut up. Then you're like, cool, floodgates are open.
Yeah.
You could kind of say whatever shit you want because the whole audience is like, get them out of here.
Yeah, they don't like them any. I always said like the audience is the key in a situation like that. So if you go, they always, I don't know who said this. If they come with a knife, you got to come back with a knife.
Yeah.
Because if you come with an atomic bomb, it's like, whoa. And then you look like, but if the crowd.
You look like that friend in the group who can't roast. You ever roast one of your friends? You'd be like, that's why your mom's dead. Yeah, and you're like, dude, what are you doing right now? This isn't how you play the game.
Yo.
No, you got to match the energy, man.
But yeah.
There's always the one friend who just doesn't roast. So he just says mean shit.
You're like, oh, I think you were just serious.
Yeah, man. We're
that
joking.
Hurts my feelings.
I told you that in confidence, dude.
Well, AG1, baby, by Athletic Greens is a sponsor for this week's episode of The Pot. And honestly, they picked a good episode to come in on.
Yes.
Yeah, AG1 got lucky. Yeah. Well, they've been hooking us up.
Yeah.
David, we went to the NASCAR race yesterday.
Nice.
So we had to get up. I took the bus home, got up at 6, had to drive 3 hours all the way down to Talladega.
That's a long
day. Was at the race all day, left at 10, back at 1.
Yep.
But you know how I got started.
How?
AG1, baby, because it'll get, once you get on the road, it's going to be what? A gas station. We stopped at Bucky's. Yeah. All right. It's going to be a gas. It's not going to, and then you're going to be at a racetrack.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, on Talladega, you're not sniffing a vegetable. You're not sniffing a vegetable. There's hot dogs, there's fried stuff. I mean, you can sustain the rest of the day through that, but you got to start out.
Got to
get yourself started. AG1 by Athletic Greens has been a part of millions of mornings since 2010. Every scoop packed with 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food source ingredients that you will not find at Talladega Super Speedway. The highest quality. They give major benefits like gut and mood support. I had that. It was great mood all day.
Awesome.
Energy was gassed up all day.
Yep.
And even healthier looking skin. Dang.
Look at you.
I did have that. Hair. I said to my last person that cut my hair, Whitney cut my hair last week, I was like, is my hair like regrowing? Now, they are definitely not in that business.
No.
So if I say that, they're going to be like, hey, John, we don't.
We're not guaranteeing that.
No, we're not guaranteeing
it.
But we're not also. why take a bunch of different things when you can just mix up one scoop of green powder, put it in your water, and hit it once a day? It's powerful because it's so easy to fit into your lifestyle and the healthiest thing you can do in under a minute.
Yeah.
I would say maybe 20 push-ups in under a minute could also be healthy. But also,
it's pretty quick.
You can't do that without AG1.
Right.
So, you know,
you got to start there. Yeah.
One scoop of powder mixed with water once a day. AG1 gives you increased energy, mood support, making it easier to live your best life. I think that's in a Joel Osteen book.
Mm.
Did he coin that?
Live your best life? Did the Joel Osteen start that?
If he did, dude, he's the GOAT.
I think he started that's that. That's crazy. Living your best life. Well, that's from Joel Osteen. Living your best life is a Joel Osteen book. They took that from Joel Osteen.
If he came up with that, that's...
They took that from the Lord, and Joel Osteen got it from the Lord. Mm. That you are plagiarizing the scripture. Not really.
Tough.
If you're looking for an easier way to take supplements, Athletic Greens is giving you a free one-year supply of vitamin D. That's what I got in my skin right now. Sir. It's going to get in there. And five free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/net positive. That is athleticgreens.com/net positive. Get in there.
Don't you feel like like some comics? I mean, I live a block from Zany's. Mm-hmm. So I go down there. If I'm off, I walk down there. And there's, you know, somebody's podcast that I've never heard it before. And somebody's, you know, sports. And it's, that place is sold out every night. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, there's people in there. And I go, I don't really, like, I just want someone that, like, has something to say.
Mm-hmm.
Like, somebody, so, like, and I gathered that about your stuff. Like, a lot of the crowd work is on the internet. But you go, mm-hmm. Oh, this guy, like, has important thing, or he has a point of view. And he stands for something.
Yeah.
And I even don't, if it's not even my, I agree with, like, the Trey Crowder is like, he's like the liberal redneck. I don't agree with most of the stuff, but he has some good, I go, good for him. That's what he, I like a lot of his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, you stand for, at least have some kind of, like, the people that are just like pandering to the audience. They're just hoping, please, please like this.
Chappelle talked about that on an interview one time. He had a very great point of view. The exact same thing. He was like, I respect a comic who sticks to a point of view regardless of what it, he goes, whether I think it's funny or not, whether I think it's offensive or not. He goes, I've heard some racist ass comedians before. I go, you know, is it racist? Yeah, but it's funny. It's in the intent of comedy, and at least he's doing something. Like, he's not pandering. He's being himself.
He's standing up for something.
Exactly. And there's something to be said. There's something to be said for people who at least just stick to something, regardless if it's a popular or unpopular thing.
Probably people that are with that.
Yeah.
Somewhere. Might not be you. Might not be me. But you go, if you're like, on like somewhere critical of Matt, right? I go, this. The wrong tree.
Yeah.
It's just like there's other stuff. This is what you're like, this is the cross you're picking up today.
And that's why I don't care anymore.
That's why because everyone
cares about everything. The things that you should care about, I don't care
you
about
don't,
anymore.
Because you're like, sorry. Matt Rife said, well, what? And you know, like, there's like, it's a lot of jokes, but you go, there is like, I always said, like, Chris Rock makes like a racist joke, not a racial joke, not racist, racial.
Mm.
Everyone laughs, and then you go home and you go, huh?
Yeah.
That's weird that we treat white and black people different like that. Chappelle, the greats, if comedy's done right, that's what it's like.
Yeah, absolutely. So you go, it's supposed to
the wheelchair
thoughts.
Trans thing is like hilarious, offensive, but you go, who has a harder time in life, people in a wheelchair or trans people? And it's hilarious.
And the point, if you listen to the joke, it shouldn't be offensive to either group.
Instinctually, no, it shouldn't be.
Triggering, yes, because instinctually you go, how can you make a joke about, you know, two marginalized groups of people? But if you listen to the joke, you really listen to it, it's really just about perspective and understanding, look, if somebody who's going through this hard of a time, like somebody who's in a wheelchair for their entire life, if they can enjoy their life and laugh at themselves,
if they found a way,
how can anybody think that they're above that? You know what I mean? Who can argue that they have a worse life than somebody who's going through that, or a harder life?
That you can say my life is a trans, and that's the joke. And you're both also saying, and I don't know, I'm either.
I'd love to see somebody argue it.
Yeah, I really
would. So, okay, all right. Yeah. Let's open that up to me. Let's see that versus.
Walk up here or roll up here and defend it. Yeah. Again, they would think that's funny.
Absolutely.
They would,
You put Stephen Hawking versus Caitlyn Jenner in a room. You tell me who's going to come out on top.
The Titans.
The Battle of the Titans right there, man. A good, like, I feel like I told a story where someone is blind came to my show and they were sitting in the front row and they weren't really like looking. And I go, I go after people in the crowd too. And I go, hey, if I'm going to talk to you, you better look me in the eye. Your friend goes, she's blind.
Did you know?
No, no. I was a young comic. I didn't know. But then she came back. It was at the Denver Improv. She came back to the green room because I was so. I mean, I was young. I didn't want to. I was so scared of offending people back then, and not anymore. But I go. I want to apologize to her. Can you bring her back to the green? Because she literally held up the stick. Her friend held up the like. She this is for real blonde. And she goes, I'm blind. I come to this comedy club every week, and I love putting the comedians in uncomfortable positions. Like, that's her.
Oh, that's the best.
That's her, like, way of, and I did the worst thing. I go, I'm so sorry. I
it's backed. Not what they want.
No, go crush them. Mm-hmm. And because they're like, you're doing everybody else.
Yeah.
You roasted everybody else. And my buddy goes, I've told the story before. He goes, I go, what do you roast? He goes, easy, but like, you're blind, you're sitting in the front row of a sold out comedy show. It's kind of a selfish move. Like, do you think she would have found that funny?
Yes, dude.
That, but you on behalf of blind people, everyone in the crowd goes,
absolutely.
Like, it's so,
you don't know what people are going through and how they want to cope with it.
You have no idea.
Like at the end of that, the wheelchair joke at the end of the special, it's like when I met that woman who I was making fun of her for being in a wheelchair, everyone else in the crowd was like, after a little bit. And then when she finally said, thank you so much for including me, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I never realized like that's. So many people deprive people in certain groups of demographics, like blind people or handicapped people, of laughter and joy because they feel like they don't want to hurt this person's feeling. When really this person is like, I wish somebody would involve me in some roast.
And
they have good senses of humor
and
too.
The best sense of humor. So people have gone to the darkness.
Exactly what we were saying.
No, real darkness. Not like real, like.
Like being blind darkness. Okay. in eternal darkness. Yeah.
I didn't even mean it like that. But no, like you've gone to like the real, like I did a roast of like my uncle who had like passed away of cancer every year they do a golf fundraiser for him. And like now, not year one, but like about year, I think it was year 10. They were like, John, can you come do like a roast of my, and I, like I said, I come in peace. I go, no one loves this guy more than me. I mean, his family, but like, I love him so much. Like the same with like your grandpa. Mm-hmm. You're like, yeah, but you can tell when people have hate in their heart towards a group.
Yeah.
And the jokes are like, and if somebody, like I did a joke about someone, it was like poorly written joke. It was about cerebral palsy. Mm-hmm. And, well, don't laugh, dude.
There's just no way this goes well.
There's just no way. Well, now.
It's all right. It has a shaky start.
I did. Joking. Okay. We're joking. I did the joke and there was it was about how, like it's weird that people have voice tones and texts. Like my girlfriend's texting me. It's like, when are you going to be home? Uh-huh. Like, I go, she texted that? The joke was like, you're out at this bar and your girlfriend's at home alone with nasal congestion and Down syndrome. That was a joke. Not that great of a joke. Not that great of a joke. I'm going to look at this camera and this camera and say, not that great of a joke. Anyway, a couple came up to me after the show they waited to kind of everything was over and they go, John, and they kind of not, they didn't bring me aside, but they go, we love you, we've come to all your shows, we drove 3 hours to be here, we've seen all your specials, we share all your stuff, we just want to let you know that we have a daughter that has Down syndrome and that might not have been, we're just letting you know how this makes us feel. And I go, done, never told the joke again.
Really?
Because it was someone first of all, it's not that great of a joke. And they were saying it out of care, not out of, I'm going to try to can't. So whenever somebody comes at you, points the finger,
it's
going to go right back.
But was there not a part of you that was like, well, let me keep doing it to see if you could have the opposite experience? You could have somebody come to the show.
Let me give it another shot.
I have a child who has Down syndrome, these are the kind of jokes that help us that cope with it. Maybe our child who has a great sense of humor about these kind of things. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess that's true.
I would have been curious.
You would listen.
Yeah, I would definitely listen. Yeah. You take it into consideration.
But Shane Gillis has an unbelievable Down syndrome.
It's one of the best jokes I've ever heard. It was so fun. The Special Olympics and everything as well. It's unbelievable. So which good. So there's a way to be respectful about it. Yeah, there was a clip that went viral on my TikTok about where I talk about autism.
Yeah.
But it's just like, again, so many people hear a trigger word and they go, you can't make jokes about that thing. But you can. Dude.
Yeah, you can.
It's all about the taste. You can still be respectful and poke little jabs at it, especially if they're true. The truth has to come out if you want an offensive joke to be funny.
And that's
because you can go, cool, it might be offensive, yes, but it's, am I wrong?
And that's what the black culture, like when I've gone in front of black comics, it's all black room. They will, if it is true, they will be like, respect.
Absolutely. It's all about the honesty. And respect. That's the best part about black crowds as well, is like they force you to be so honest in yourself. Like so many white comics don't do well in front of black crowds because they pander. They go, I have to start talking this kind of way. Or I have to do references or whatever. Yeah. It's like people can smell it.
And if you can same with a black comic to a white crowd, you'd be like, now we white people always be like, oh great, like
a little bit of it, isn't there?
I was so scared. I was in front of Bill Bellamy doing a guest spot, and I was like, guys, this isn't really my demographic either. And everybody was like, oh yeah, good, like good for just like. And then I did very well. And then I came out the next show
the confidence.
Yeah, and they crushed me, dude. They were like, I was like, yeah, what up? Like, black people love me. They were like, no,
it's got to be earned.
Yeah. They go, shut it down. And like, they shut it down hard.
And that's the best thing about black audiences, is they let you know. They love you or hate you too. They're like, no, you're whack or you're invited to the cookout. Like, there's really no
in between. And if you go, like, I did a joke about how, like, I go, me too. I say in my show, like, me too. It's like, it's a very divisive statement, but also a phrase we use every day.
Yeah.
You can't just like.
Yeah, just steal that.
And I go, I can't breathe. It's like very divisive. Mm. Also, what I said in the airplane the other day when the guy next to me farted. Aww. So like, what?
That's a good joke.
And they go, and I go, I saw a guy the other day wearing an I can't breathe mask, and I go,
take it off.
I go, but that's funny. It's not being disrespectful to the movement, or you're just saying
it's situational humor, dude.
Yes. And everybody's like, he made a I can't breathe, or he made a me too joke.
What it's
like,
about,
no,
man.
He didn't. Just like listen for a second.
Yeah.
And I
just don't believe when people say like you can't make jokes about a certain subject, whether it be a movement or a point or opinion. It's like you can, though.
Yeah.
It might not be for you, but you can make a joke about it and somebody's going to like it, which objectively makes it funny.
For everybody.
Yeah.
And you were, I think the reason why, because we were all talking about you in the green room a couple weeks ago when you were coming through. No, in a good way.
Okay.
Yeah. You ever gotten a pushback from other comics?
Like comics not like me?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Really?
I've been doing comedy 12 years, so for 11 and a half of them, I would say so. Yeah, dude.
I thought it would be the opposite. The 11 and a half, they were good, and then you got on top, and then they hit. It was the opposite?
When I was when I was really young, like 15 through 18, everyone liked me because I was a little kid, dude. I was noogieing me in the hallway and shit.
You come through the club.
But then like once I become like a young adult, and I'm like, now I'm competing for stage time. Now I'm competing for audition spots. Now, I don't know if it's am I considered a threat? I don't know what it is, but people don't like me all the time, dude.
Really?
Like, yeah, but I get it.
A comic's below you, never a comic above you.
Well, who was talking? It was probably like a Rogan quote or something like that. I have to remind myself all the time, like, you're never. People who hate on you are never doing better than you.
Never.
Nobody better than you ever looks down and go, oh, you're still a piece of shit. And if they do, they're a real piece of shit.
They wouldn't. Yeah.
And I totally get it. A lot of it comes from jealousy. Anytime I've ever hated on somebody, I immediately followed up with, I go, I know I'm jealous of this person.
Yeah.
I know. Is it? Yeah. I can't help it, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Everybody's jealous of somebody at some point.
It shows
you know?
A mirror to you kind of somewhere. And you go, yeah, because if like – I feel like the viral or algorithm or whatever door that I walked through in 2018, what am I going to walk through it and close it behind me?
Yeah.
I walked through the same door, the exact same door, and nobody was like, I was doing shows, dragging two things of merch myself.
Yep.
And nobody cared about me. And then I walked through this door, and then someone, other people have walked through the door, and I'm like, he doesn't. Like, I'm a video guy. Mm-hmm. That's like the criticism of like, oh, he's not a real comic. And I was like, I've been doing stand-up in the clubs for 10 years. And then And I think that's what, because we were all, Matt, he's like, they're looking at, obviously you sold out 9 shows. Mm-hmm. And then Brian Dorfman goes, wait, Matty Rife? And we go, yeah. He goes, his dad was bringing him in here, or some, his mom was My bringing grandpa, him in here. Yeah. When he's your grandpa from the special.
Uh-huh.
Really?
Yeah.
Was bringing him in here when he was 15. And I go, oh.
Yeah. Dude,
like, oh, he's not so like long. A good looking guy that came out of nowhere that popped off that never did stand up before. And then you come to the show, it's like, oh, this guy knows his way around a microphone. Because the guys that don't know their way around a microphone, you can tell.
You can tell. Yeah. You go, oh, shit, you got ticket sales before you learn how to do stand-up.
You want
to
do a Q&A?
Yeah, exactly.
Music cue. It's like all the veterans of, like, the league, and, like, LeBron is, like, touted out of high school, and they're going, we're going to shut this guy down.
Yeah.
Just because he didn't – you want the other person to have worked – like you do.
Of course.
I guess.
But sometimes, often, they did, and you don't even know about it.
Yeah, or Or
just,
the,
just because, like, you didn't have the eyes on you. How long were you doing stand-up before you?
Yeah,
before
2009, the internet stuff? Like, 11 years.
Exactly. Same, dude. This, yeah. April is 12 years for me. So
really?
For 11 and a half years, it was, dude, this time last year, I couldn't sell 100 tickets at a show.
That's still exactly doing, the same thing happened to me.
And I was doing the same show you saw on the special. Yeah. And if you think it's a good show, it's like, okay, so it was a good show, right? It's not like my talent massively changed in 6 months, you know?
Yeah.
It's just accessibility. That's all.
And you're like, oh, what is like I always say, like, Louis or Bill Burr and, let's say, polar opposite, Larry the Cable Guy.
Okay.
They're wildly different. I bet they would both be like,
mm-hmm.
They have to. You're like, hey, selling arenas? Me too. That's tough, isn't
there's
it?
A certain level of respect.
Hey, ticket sales, selling tickets is hard, isn't it? It's stressful. You got to be on the road and good to see you.
There's a Hope certain you're level doing of respect. Well. You don't have to like it. You don't have to think they're funny. You don't have to go, you don't even have to say that's a good stand up to me, but you go, you know what? He appeals to enough people. Enough people think he's funny, and that's ultimately all that matters.
And you know what? I want to be selling arenas.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, like, of course. There's a certain level. I mean, even people like the Paul brothers, like Jake Paul and Logan Paul, I don't have any respect for them creatively.
Okay.
But as a businessman, I go, I know you work hard.
Yeah,
You have to. To even sustain this level you're at right now, you work hard, and I respect that.
We've said that before. I'm like, dude, you're out of your mind if you don't think Kim Kardashian's alarm is going off at 5:30. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? If you like figured out a way to like not have to work at Staples, you win.
Yeah.
You win.
Dude,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Good for you. Yeah.
Although I do not like the idea of like whenever I hear it, I'll see like an interview like a kid on TikTok or Instagram or something like that. And they're like, what do you want to be when you grow up? Like, I want to be an influencer. And you're like, but like nothing with some substance.
What are you influencing? Or you just want to be because
you just want to be famous or something like that.
Yeah, you don't have any.
But that doesn't even mean anything anymore.
No.
Everybody's famous
of course,
now.
Yeah,
there are 12-year-olds with like 4 million followers on TikTok or on Instagram. You're like, who, for what?
Like building Legos or something.
Yeah, I unbox videos.
Yeah. Yeah.
What? That's insane.
I think that we are like the cutoff of like, you go somebody, they're like, I don't know, Taylor Swift, but like, she likes to write music, right? Mm-hmm. At the beginning of it, when I was at my family reunions and the people were all around the table and I was like, hey, and just kind of going into like bit or like going into things I thought of.
Yeah.
I didn't have any, I want to be fair. There was no like measure of that.
Mm-hmm.
I just like to do it.
Yeah.
I like to do that thing. And you go, Taylor Swift, she just liked to go in a room and play guitar.
Mm.
She'd like to do that thing.
And those are the people who are going to make it, to be honest.
And they don't even, they not even like, I don't know to bring up this example, but like Jesus was always like, he's like trying to not like be around.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I'm here to like help people. But like, he was like, I heal this person, but don't like tell anybody. Like, I'm just gonna.
And then he was like, but write a book about it.
Yeah, like later, though. Yeah, you have to tell everybody like later.
I'll give you the words.
Yeah, would you mind wearing me around your neck? Like, no, I don't want anything crazy.
Yeah, don't know? Like make a big deal. Just or he would like, holidays. Yeah, go like, hey, I've some of those artists that like, I know Sam Hunt, who's a buddy of ours. He's like, I don't like. He's always like, I've heard like Luke Bryan, his like green room mm-hmm. is like as many people as possible.
Oh.
Get everybody in here, everybody taking shots, everybody like bring your friends, your cousins, your aunts. It's a, and like Sam, he goes, I like to write music. Mm-hmm. I like to write music and make the things in here and get them out.
Yeah.
All the other stuff I don't like. So that's what I'm saying, like just to be famous, that came around recently. Mm. That's a byproduct of you liking to make the things.
Yeah,
like
being to very make passionate about it. Yeah. Yeah.
And we were like during COVID when everything went away, anybody that was a real artist, mm-hmm. they were like, there's a show in a parking lot. They'd be like, we'll be there.
Yep.
The real ones, the mm-hmm. real ones are like, hey, it's half cap. We can only seat 40 people in here. Everybody's going to be wearing a mask and behind plexiglass.
Got to do it.
Well, I'm there.
Yeah.
The absolutely. Real ones were like, I have to.
Oh, yeah. I know a lot of comics who were like, I took a year off. I wasn't going to perform in Zoom.
Yeah. And now they're nowhere. And now they're nowhere.
So I'm like, oh, yeah. You didn't want it bad enough, dude.
Oh, you yeah. Really or didn't. You didn't. We were like, like when I came up in Denver at Comedy Works, you ever been there?
I've never done Comedy Works, unbelievable. Actually. Yep. I've heard nothing but good things. I've never been.
There was like Laramie, Wyoming. It was like 3 hours north. Mm-hmm. And there was like somebody heard about an open mic or like, hey, there's an open. And it was like at a bar and like five of us.
They're talking about it like Prohibition.
Though. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I caught wind.
Yeah, let's get up there. It's like an underground railroad for comics. Yeah. But we got up there, five of us drove 3 hours, and it was like a bar. There was like, it was like nobody in there. Mm-hmm. It was like an open mic in the corner, and the bartender was so confused. He's like, so what? He's like, we're comics from Denver. Mm-hmm. And he goes, what? Why did you come here? I was like, yeah, we didn't have a choice, but like, we do this.
Yeah.
And there was somebody, there was a flyer that there'd be people that would listen. So we're here.
And they lied?
Yeah, I got no there was people. Nobody there. Yeah, yeah.
Damn. No.
But you go, I don't know. We just like to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. The passion has to come first.
And it's good that more people now see it. Mm-hmm. But it comes with that also comes with other stuff.
But we were doing it when nobody was seeing it.
Yeah.
And that's another thing with like you have a lot of younger comics now. And this sounds so old of me to say that. Like, yeah. Like I'm not one of them.
Yeah.
But like the clips are the most important thing.
Yeah,
and from a
yeah.
marketing and business standpoint,
oh, the clips.
It yeah, is yeah, for yeah. sure. But yeah. it's like, would you still be doing it at the same level and like hustle if the clips weren't as important?
Yeah.
Because now everyone's like, I got to get stage time this week because I have to get 3 clips up this week. It's like, okay, but forget that. No cameras out. Do you want to just go do stand up or do you want a blue check mark next to your name on TikTok? Like, what's really more important to you? Chappelle, like one of the coolest things Chappelle ever said to me. He was like, well, he's like, what's more important to you, $15 million or 15 minutes of new material? What makes you feel better? And I would go, holy shit.
I mean, $15 or $15 million?
But like, what would make you feel better at the end of the day? Once the money's in your account and you're just sitting there, what would make you feel those butterflies
material,
more in your
stomach? Material.
Dude, there's nothing better than getting
that's a real
new
comic
joke,
right
too.
There. That's a real, like, make my skin, like, make a hair of my skin.
I'll get through a whole set. Like, the newest thing in my set right now is the ghost stuff at the end of it.
That's great. Yeah.
I can't wait to do get the first 45 minutes of my show out of the way so that I can have fun with the new
thing. Mess around with the new thing.
Yeah.
It's like a new like toy that you brought out to like show everybody. You're like, oh,
yeah,
y'all gotta love
it's exciting
this.
To do again. Yeah.
Tim Hawkins used to have a joke as a comedian buddy of mine. He goes, dude, I mean, we were joking, but you would understand this. He goes, dude, like my kids don't know my name, but my new closer is killer. Like, you know, he'd be like, the doctor found like a lump on my throat, but dude, this new tag I have, like you get that, right?
Absolutely.
He goes, yeah,
there's
yeah.
There's nothing better than that.
Yeah, it's what, I don't know what that is, like on the inside that you go.
Yeah, I don't know. It's so many different things. It's the reaction from the audience. You're going, cool, I'm making people laugh with a thing that's also funny to me.
Yeah.
And there's just like, there's no better feeling than just laughing, dude. Better. When you find nothing something that's better. Funny to you all over again,
and you're
you go,
laughing.
Yes. Yeah. That's one thing.
And you laugh like, a lot in your show.
I do. Because it's funny to
it's
me.
Funny, dude.
It's
I
insane
laugh the same.
To me when people, when a comic just goes, there's the joke. And then they just sit back.
Who's that
and
impression
wait for
of, by the way? Yeah.
a bunch of, well, yeah. I guess Jeselnik, there's,
but he does it because he's doing a thing.
And there's people who are brilliant and do it like that. That's just their style. You know, Jeselnik, Neil Brennan, even people who are more writers than performers, I think. And they do it brilliantly. But like for me, again, I want the show to feel like we're all just hanging out. So like any joke I tell, at least at some point, it was funny enough to me to make me laugh out loud. Otherwise, I wouldn't
try
to make you laugh at it.
Bert, I think Bert said, I saw a clip of him. He goes, I just want it to be, I just want, like, if I die, I just want people to be like hanging out, go, I wish Bert was here. Just to, you know, like, just, he would be like giving everybody this. And Bo Burnham has said a lot. He's like, I've been to the darkness that I know how much this means to, for not to get like spiritual or anything, but like, there's a lot of people that are on thin ice. I'm talking about like, and I've talked about this last week with staying alive and with being, and like, it's somebody is like, there's like a bit of like Matt, right? Not that you could be like people say to me all the time, dude, you're, jokes have lifted my spirits or they have helped me or that you're like, yeah, because it's like a light. It's other comics.
It's a relief.
Yeah. And you go, God, it feels so good. I never had a day that a hot comedy set didn't solve. You know,
it's very last night were two very fun shows. Gosh. I had zero energy.
Yeah,
you were in there, the green room, like three seconds before I walked on stage. I was like, I don't want to do this.
You got to find some energy.
And went out there, and it's just something about the energy they give you back. You're laughing, you have a good time. It does change something inside you, but it's still, it's so crazy when people come up to you after a show and they're like, no, you're like, you don't understand, like, your videos saved my life. Yeah, and you're like, dude, I was just around.
I'm trying to. I see the news and I'm trying to help my own self.
Yeah.
Or like, I'm trying to deal with this. I'm trying to cope myself.
Exactly. Exactly. It's amazing that it can help somebody else. No, you saved my life and you're like, you're welcome.
I mean, well, okay. Hey, let's go see the tickets. Yeah.
I'm out here saving lives.
Yeah. Can you say that again? I'm just going to put that on my
phone. Just a little sound bite.
You saved my life. Yeah. But you go, like, silly example, but the Masters is this weekend.
It is.
I like to watch golf. There's golfers that I enjoy watching them do their thing, their art, or their or athletes or music.
Yeah.
We already know Paramore. Like that has like they have eased the burden for you.
Mm-hmm.
Other pieces of art.
Yeah, there's certain musicians that I'm like I can genuinely from like 20. I want to say probably like 2017 through 2020. There was a couple of musicians that like I was in a very low place of depression and like I've definitely had some bad thoughts before, and like their music
saved you.
Genuinely saved made me feel a certain way that I was like, wow, at the very least I feel related to.
You want to go? Yeah, somebody said be careful. Like it was somebody like a school board like defunding like art. Mm-hmm. It's like be careful. The category you put art in, because when you were at your lowest, that's where you went.
Damn, that's a good point.
To art. To
But not like pointillism and shit.
Yeah, no.
We're not talking about like abstract paintings.
Nobody
has ever looked at a picture and go, you know what? I shouldn't kill myself. Look at the way they mix these colors.
Look at that clock that's hanging over.
That is just a non-suicidal palette. That is beautiful.
I'm going to do that. Yeah. He's like, no, I don't probably. I might actually.
I've seen paintings so bad that I'm like, you should kill yourself.
When you were at the bottom, you went to art.
Of some kind. Yes. Yeah. It's a distraction at the very least.
And that's what I know how much that means to. I know when people said, like, there was somebody that said, like, we did a tour for the troops in the Middle East.
I've always wanted to do that.
Awesome.
Will you put me in if you don't have a contact, put me in contact.
Yeah, the troops would love to do that. That's a weird thing to say. I'm saying, like, people in prison would love you.
Well, they would. I'm pretty sure.
The troops would love you. Oh, yeah, dude. I'll put you in touch with you. The troops would love you. I don't even know what that means. But they go, it was like, I remember flying over there and there was like armored vehicles that would take us around. And like, we went to all these military bases and I go, what are we doing over? Like, there's a lot of like expenses involved in this. And they said the general, whatever, I wrote this in my book. He said, when the comedians come, the suicide rate goes down.
Wow.
And that's everybody. That's you. That's everybody. When the comedians come, I go, well, you should have told me that on the way home.
Yeah.
Trip. Not like now. Like, good luck out there. You say, yeah. It's a lot
of pressure.
If
this doesn't go well, it's about to go up. All right. No pressure.
But I feel like in Nashville, everybody gets on the, there's all the country singers are here, right? All the artists are here. And if you go any of those truck stops around, like on Thursday night, Friday morning, everybody is going out, going out among, it's like a weird, like not wartime, but like going out amongst the people and like bringing these, like someone's drive, like Dustin Lynch or whatever is getting his band together and going up to Evansville, Indiana, which is like depressed, like it's a sad city.
Uh-huh.
And you're, not to roast Evansville, but like you're bringing something to them and that's what you're doing. And that's what people come.
Yeah.
They're like, there's something.
It's a relief. It's a relief. It's an escape. It makes people feel relatable. It makes people feel heard sometimes.
Yeah.
I was talking to, there was a girl last night who's a mutual friend of mine. She came and she does like some influencer stuff or whatever. And she was like the whole internet stuff I was talking about at the beginning of the show. She was like the whole time I was just like, yeah, so I'm not the only person who has to go through this kind of negativity and all this kind of stuff all the time. She was like, I felt like I was supposed to be here and hear this to figure out how to navigate that stuff myself. I'm like, that's crazy.
And you're like, here's the meet and greet is $50.
Yeah, 100%.
I love that energy. I love that energy. Now here's a QR code. But you can't meet. Yeah. Well, do you think anything about your like point of view has switched since you started selling tickets? Jokes are jokes.
No.
If somebody came and saw you a year and a half ago and somebody came and saw you now, it's different just because there are more people.
Yeah, I don't think my perspective's changed. If anything, I kind of expect it to not last just because because so many people are coming from the internet. And like we talked about, that's not the same as a live show, right?
Yeah, sure.
So there are some shows that like people will come and they'll go, like you said earlier, like, oh, this isn't for me like I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
So it's like now that more people are coming, I'm so well aware I'm not everyone's cup of tea. So if I have 1,000 people come to a show, I fully understand and expect 100 of those people might not ever come back again. And that's okay. Sure. So there's a part of me that's like a little bit anxious that you're like, well, you know, I want to keep all these new fans and everything. Yeah, but there's also still a part of me that's like, no, you're at the end of the day, this journey is about finding your people long game. You know?
If you can't, yeah.
Yeah. A flash in the pan of like instant success is exciting and everything. Yeah. But like you're trying to find those people who are going to stay your fans and want to keep fucking
their
with
friends.
You. Yeah. In 10, 20 years, you know? So I'm more just focused on building that relationship and being me and finding the right fan base. I don't want, whenever I would get in trouble or canceled or something, I go, you know what? It's totally okay that you don't like me because you wouldn't like my live show anyways.
Yeah, you were never buying tickets.
Yeah, you were never going to be a fan of mine long term. Yeah, yeah. You saw my jawline and you were like, cool.
What's up?
Yeah.
And if two people come to the show and you are you, right? Mm. You're not trying to do anything other than you. The one person goes, I hate that guy. I will never go again. The other person goes, I'm going to come tomorrow and bring two of my friends.
Totally.
That's a win.
Mm-hmm.
If you're you, because I've heard like with the blue collar comedy, it was like Jeff Foxworthy, Bill Engvall, Larry the Cable Guy, and Ron White.
Yep.
Ron White was dirty.
Mm-hmm.
Like in his own, like he would be clean for that show.
Yeah.
And everybody would, after he would come back to the same markets, they'd do the arena. They would come back and he would do the theater. And he was like right after. And he's like, I'm going to be me.
Mm-hmm.
I have no, and all the blue collar people would come over.
And then they're expecting the same show.
And then he was him.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of people left.
Mm.
But the people that loved it, loved it.
Absolutely.
And you could see what happened to his career. Mm-hmm. He's still around and doing it.
Absolutely.
Because he was him the whole time versus some of the other, like maybe this isn't really me.
Yeah.
And then, eventually your cards are going to get played.
Yeah. And that's your longevity as well. Dane Cook is a great example of like, you know, he got so very infamous for like, he was very expressive of it in his massive acts and they were groundbreaking and hilarious, but you can't do that forever.
Yeah.
You know, I've had conversations with him about that before. Like you have to evolve over time, you know? And if you're doing, if there's something about you that you can't do forever,
yeah,
that's going to change. You might end up losing some fans because they go, oh, well, we loved him because he did this before. Yeah. He was this way before. But you're like, yeah, but I changed. Or maybe I wasn't being truthfully me. If you're being truthfully you, those people are never going to see that massive of a change in you.
No. Or even better, the if you were doing colleges, all those people were coming out. It's like, yeah, so all those fans now are in their 40s.
Yeah.
So you can't do the college like jokes now.
Yeah.
Because the fans that loved you, Nate Bargatze talks about this. He goes, yeah, when I was like single living in New York, then now like I moved to the South. Mm-hmm. I've had a child. I live in the suburbs. I live with my wife. Like that, the progression of your content should go there because the fans will go with you.
Yeah.
But if you're still like, well, these jokes killed for me.
Yeah.
We're like, yeah, but we've all developed.
Yeah.
Everybody has developed. So like, well, that worked for me. Like a lot of country artists in town are like that.
I find myself fighting with that all the time. And I was actually talking to Brian Dorfman about this Wednesday because it was Wednesday was some shows that like kind of get on my nerves where it's like you saw the girl yell about take your belt off last night.
Yeah. Wednesday, a lot of my
show, dude, I'd say 90% of my shows are people yelling obnoxious, ridiculous things throughout the entire show, right?
Tough.
And I get off stage and I'm like huffing and puffing about it, like I hated the show. Like this just feels like it feels like a bad show. The audience doesn't know it's a bad show because that's what they came to expect to see, you know. And I got through it, we made it fun.
Everybody was
but to me, I hated it, right?
Yeah.
And Dorfman was like, "You have to remember that, like you, I learned comedy kind of in reverse. I got my audience." Second compared to a lot of like what young comics are getting in the sense that like
grew up,
when I grew up, I was performing for 30 to 50 year olds in comedy clubs. I was building an adult comedy club set. So I was trying to become like a respected stand-up comedian.
You were on your way.
Yes, that was the focus. You know, like there was no pandering to young people or young chicks because they weren't in the comedy
clubs.
They
weren't there.
And now that's my audience.
Now they're there.
So I put on like a professional, a professional stand-up show for younger people who aren't used to that. See, he was like, you have to introduce them to what that really is. So like I find myself
and you never, not that you never done it, you know how to write jokes, but you go, oh, this is,
But you have to go, well, do I change up who I am in my material to cater to my new audience?
Right.
Or do I try to bring them over to who I really am?
Yeah.
And it will be so easy for me to cash in on taking my belt off or taking my shirt off on stage.
I guess that's what we're talking about is that guy does exist.
Yeah.
Not that, but that like, and that guy's gone.
Yeah.
In a day.
Of course.
But he comes around and he's like, oh, we're doing, this is what we're doing.
Exactly. And in five years from now, who respects that guy for his stand-up craft? You know what I mean?
Gosh, but it's so hard. Like I used to do this joke when I was like, I was homeschooled. I go, don't make fun of homeschool. To me, it was the goodest thing that ever happened to me. Like at the very, very, very beginning of like, I would never do a joke like that now. But that's like a let me in, laugh, and then we're going to get to what I care about.
Yeah.
And when you're a young comic, you don't really... But you have, there's a significant portion of your show that there's jokes. Like Bill Burr, I would say the whole thing is funny, but also meat.
Yeah.
And the greats are like that. Yeah. And my show is not all like that.
Mm.
It's some of it is like that, or I got something to say here.
Yeah. And I think a good middle ground is exactly where you want to be because you have audience members who want both.
Sometimes
when I'm talking passionately about a joke that like, listen, it might be a long build out, but I promise there's a punchline.
Yeah, I get there.
I can see people in the audience who are like,
we want the,
just get to the punchline, dude. I know it's coming and I'm going to laugh, but like you're pouring your heart out. We get it. You have all these emotions and opinions.
Give us the thing. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then there's people who are like, wow, he's really saying something, you know?
Yeah.
So, and then there's jokes later on in the show. If you're like, Here's the little zinger
still,
for you.
Dude, Chappelle still does that. He still does like the goofy, like he'll still like,
There should be something for everybody.
Anybody
you don't want to be preachy, but you want to have something to say.
And otherwise, what are we doing? Like if you go, if you have looked at the trans move, or not the movement, but you're watching the world and you go, this does something to me. I have thoughts about this. I would like to
express it.
Contribute it in a way that everyone else, it's going to lift the burden for them also.
Absolutely.
So they go, oh, I feel this way. And everybody goes, thank you.
Yeah.
Me also. Everybody wins.
Yeah.
And then you go, oh, okay.
Yeah. It makes it seem far more appropriate and justified to make jokes about certain taboo topics when you're coming from a place of perspective, because at least you go, oh, he's expressing something rather than just like, oh, he's just taking a jab at it because it was a quick, easy, funny thing to
and
say.
You just say, you know? was it you said last night? Did you go, I understood when I was like at 15, where I was like, what's your perspective? You're like, I didn't have one.
Oh yeah. And like, I really thought I did.
You're
15,
you're like, guys, listen, it's like a, someone that's married for like a year. It's like a marriage counselor. There's somebody who's married 20 years. They're like, what do you possibly?
Exactly. One thing that gets thrown in my face all the time. Like, you know, Eric Griffin.
Yeah. He produced your special.
Yeah. He directed it. Yeah. He's awesome. He's one of my best friends.
He's great.
It has been for so long.
Yeah.
And one of the things he loves to throw back in my face is when I was visiting in LA for the first time, when I was like 17.
Yeah.
We were driving somewhere and we passed by this like art gallery that was outside, okay, right?
Yeah.
And we're driving by and for no reason at all, I just go, art's so stupid. And he goes, do you even know what you just said? I go, yeah, it's stupid, dude. Like just like finger paintings or whatever. He goes, that's not art. He goes, structurally, yes. Literally, it's art technically. Like it's a painting is an art, you know what I mean? Yeah. But he goes, but what you're saying, you can't take it in general concept like that. He goes, you like shoes, right?
Yeah.
I go, yeah. He goes, that's art. Somebody made that. And I go, that's so such a stupid thing. You know what's crazy now?
Yeah.
I love art.
You're like, yeah.
I love paintings now. I go to art galleries all the time.
Yeah.
So I did not have an appropriate perspective at the time.
Then you go, okay. But also if you're that age, you shouldn't.
Yeah. Be naive.
You should. Yeah. Be dumb.
You don't need to know everything. Yeah. That's the funniest thing about kids these days, especially with how powerful they feel on the internet, is they really think they know shit, and it's so funny to me to watch. And like they would really die on a hill they know nothing about.
Go, nothing.
Confidently, nothing. Too.
I like the, did you watch that when the American, and this is adults, but the lawmakers and the TikTok guy, the Chinese guy,
TikTok CEO.
The TikTok CEO and the American lawmakers, and they're like,
he's in front of Congress.
Oh, y'all have no idea what you're talking about. They were like, so how do you get?
I think why? I did
yeah,
see
and
this.
It was like, oh, you were just exposed. You have no idea.
Yes, so you're telling me people are getting trafficked on the app.
Yeah,
you're like,
well,
it's mostly just people dancing. Yeah, but I suppose.
You're like, I don't, yeah. And the high, like, we've talked a lot about like protesters in here, that like people that protest for like, and if you go, we were going to do a sketch about like a abortion rally and go thousands of people out there go, which side are you on, Roe or Wade? Like it's Roe v. Wade.
Yeah.
You don't even,
you know, Roe has some good points, but you know, Wade's been in the gym a lot recently. I mean, he's been putting in the work.
But you're so confident. That's what you're saying. You're so, you're like, well, tell me.
Yeah.
So
maybe don't fight for it so heavily.
Yeah, no, but maybe don't come out here and point your fingers at everybody
else.
Don't
act like you're an expert on it.
As we do this, because we have a video guy at all of our shows. Mm. If you like, and me and Trevor Wallace have talked about this sometime, not like clip harvesting, but you're like, oh, we got one.
Oh, yeah.
And then you're like, I feel like I just like play around there longer than I normally would. Cause you're like, the guy goes, I'm from Thailand, and you're like, and he's doing something wild, and there's a huge pop.
Yeah.
You go, normally at a show, if there's no cameras on, I would mess around with him and then I would move on.
Yeah.
Then I go, oh, this one, we posted one yesterday. There was like these ladies that were like adoptive moms, and there was four moms. They've all adopted kids from different countries. And the one girl adopts a boy from Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, can you do that? Like, and we just roasted her. I go, hey, all these other women are making fun of you behind your back because you're like, it's so tough with the Kansas. I go, and I played around in that for probably 6 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But normally I would just like hit on it and move on. But I'm thinking in my head, the cameras are going.
Yeah, how much can I squeeze out of it?
I got one and I probably got a big one. You do that or not?
I wonder if I do.
Maybe subconscious.
It could be subconscious.
Trevor,
but I also love crowd work. Like I was doing it long before I was needing to clip it up for the Instagram. It's a fun thing for
You've always been doing it, really?
I've always done it. Oh, yeah, it's so fun for me.
Yeah.
And I love diving. And again, this was a subconscious thing I didn't even realize I was doing. But like my friends who opened for me would point it out. Because we were trying to figure out like what makes my crowd work different from like a lot of other people's on TikTok or whatever. Yep. And because a lot
there's other crowd work on TikTok.
Unfortunately,
I haven't seen any. Yeah,
like so
tough.
A lot of it's very basic. Where are you from? Yeah. What's your name? Oh, you got a silly hat on. Yeah. End of story, right? Yeah. And they're like, you have actual questions. Like you kind of like you dive into who they really
it's
are.
Not
you,
like
you get to know them as a story a little bit. Yeah. So like. That's not
Andrew
something
Schultz
I was doing.
Does that too. Well.
Exactly.
He does it well.
He's so good at it. And I think that's when you get the most truthful stuff out of it. And you get the stuff that's not surface level that nobody expected to happen.
There's no way.
If somebody's wearing a crazy outfit, it's like, cool, that's a 30-second roast. The people were like, somebody's probably dressed like a disco ball.
Look at this guy.
Something's going to happen.
That,
you know?
Every comic could do that.
But were you at the show last night where the dude was 21, but he looked 43?
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing where you dig in and you're like, hold on, I got questions.
What's going on
now?
Here? Yeah. I mean, but it comes from, it just comes from a place of general sincerity, very playful.
Genuine curiosity.
Sometimes you go, this guy's trying to hurt this guy. Yeah. I've seen that. I don't want to mention any names, but I've seen like some piece of crowd work. I was like, this gives me like a bad feeling.
Yeah.
It's like, the words were funny, like the punchlines are funny, but I feel like that guy came to laugh and is dealing with his own stuff in life. I don't love the way this made me feel.
No, there's a bunch of them. I've seen lots of them. I've seen some comics where it's like every single one of the crowd works is like them getting heckled for the set not going well.
Yeah.
And then the reaction, the crowd work is literally this is just them snapping. And then that gets millions of
comedian
views.
Comedian owns
not,
heckler.
Yeah.
Like,
you're like,
I
you
really own,
you, yeah. If anything, I think you lost.
Yeah.
That
you
moment.
Might have taken the L on that one.
Yeah, man. Yeah. But you make it funny, dude. Yeah. That's your responsibility. Or move on from it.
And like, then I think your hashtag is over a billion views. So that's not even you.
Is it really?
I think so. You look on TikTok. Mm-hmm. Go to the TikTok.
You had a screen this whole time?
Hey, dog.
You had a cheat sheet over my shoulder this whole time?
We were talking about before you came in here. We talked about all that before you came in here.
I was like, wow, John really did his research.
You might not be able to see it on there.
Just hashtag Matt, right?
Could you see it? Yeah, you can't probably see it on the...
I don't think I've ever seen the website version of TikTok.
Yeah, it's a weird side of it.
Yeah, let me see. So that's mine.
Damn, that's at 35 million. Jesus.
Let me see. Yeah, the Matt right here. Look at this right here. Matt, this says Matt Rife comedy.
Yeah, it doesn't show the same thing.
Here, I have it on my phone. Here, I have it on my phone. 1.8 million. Billion. I have it on my, it shows on my phone. But you go, so what I'm saying is there's a difference between seeing it, and Theo would say the same thing. I only have, my whole following is a 7 million or something like that, but across all of them. Mm. You need someone to see it and be compelled. It has to give them the feeling to go, they share it.
Mm-hmm.
And you have people making up TikTok that are not even, they're not sharing your stuff. They're just copying and taking it.
My For You page and YouTube and is me from other people's things. I'm like, this is insane. Nothing's more aggravating, I will say.
For You page is me is a wild thing.
The worst part is somebody will post a video of the video I posted and they get more views than I do.
Like,
I'm like, are you
mine,
kidding
bro?
Me?
Yeah.
That's insane to me.
Matt Rife has the You page. Like, we got the For You page.
It's just a mirror.
But that's the difference of what I'm saying. But those crowd work clips, you go, I follow this person. I enjoy it because I know this person versus I have 500 followers. I want to show this to them.
Yeah.
And that's the nobody in Hollywood or anything could explain that. They'd go, yeah, but it's a good song or it's a good bit or has a good punchline. So I'm like, yeah, but the feeling that it gave them that you got to go, hey, it compels them to, I'm going to drive to a show.
Mm-hmm. Does it resonate?
I'm going to wait in the rain.
Yeah. Is it impactful enough? They're like, somebody else needs to see this.
You have to see. And the greatest bits that I go like the reason literally my career that I walked through that same viral doors that go, they saw the video. They go, oh my goodness, my aunt, my sister, my brother has to see this.
Yeah.
It you gotta see this.
That I will say I'll get that compliment more often than like way more times do I hear oh, my husband and I share your videos back and forth. I share it with a friend or my group chat or whatever far more often than I hear, I just love to watch your videos. And I'm like, wow, that's the power in it.
That is it's the just power. People that's how something like, goes. That's how something goes. Cause you go, I see there's a lot of those guys that do the, what's it called? Like the pranks.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're like, a lot of TikTok is like prank. You're like, you go into Walmart and you like jump in the ball pit and it goes everywhere. And like, I go, yeah, but the guy that works there, or like you go into the drive thru and you like get the ice cream cone and throw it back in the guy's face, like,
dude.
Ah. I go, I don't feel good. That now it has a lot of views, but no one goes, hey, because the feeling's bad for me,
mm-hmm.
or at least a little bit of guilt, or a little bit of.
Aren't you embarrassed also a little bit, dude? It's like, what are you? Come on, man.
What are we doing? And then that guy, you go, hey, what do you have to say about any societal topic? And they're like,
yeah, and they're just like,
no, I'm just here to make videos. Yeah. It's a bunch.
There's no substance to it.
Yeah, there's nothing to it. And I
think you just want to be, it all comes back to just being relatable, dude.
Yeah.
I love when somebody, like, we went out for a drink last night and there was a bunch of dudes at the bar who would come up like, dude, you're
seeing Red Door.
Yeah, it was so nice.
Yeah, Red Door. You never been to Red Door?
No.
Nah, hometown favorite.
They lied. Everyone was like, you want to go to a place where you're not going to get recognized? This is the place. Dude, it was ridiculous.
A Red Door? What is that? On a Thursday?
Yeah.
Red Door on a Thursday is different than a Red Door on a Monday, Tuesday. But
I do love hearing people are like, your sense of humor is exactly my thing. Because I know it's not for everybody. Yeah. So again, you're getting that gratification from being you on stage. You're like, oh, there are people who are like, who feel the same way. They're like, man, there's all these comedians out there. But like, this is the thing. This feels the most like me. You
like
know?
If we were sitting at our table and you go, hey, Matt, come over and hang with us. Mm-hmm. That's what every comic. If he's like, if you see like, who's like a Tom Hanks or like Kevin, like a, not Kevin Spacey, Tom Hanks or like a Tom Cruise,
mm-hmm.
you would be like, he is other than.
Yeah.
I don't.
That's not relatable.
If he's at a restaurant, I'm not going to go up to them. I'm going to go, oh my goodness, I can't believe I see him there. I might try to like sneak a,
mm-hmm.
I would, but a comic is like, that's why nobody was like, if we like fly private or we like somebody, like you wouldn't post that. Or like, now the black comics.
Watch me.
The black comics. Yeah, you can.
As soon as I get a jet, better believe everyone's going to know it. Dude.
Yeah. You would, because comic is like, you see Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart is so bit and like, you're like, yo, Kev.
Mm-hmm.
You would go up to him and like, my guy.
Yeah.
But you're like, why? Because
he's still a comedian.
Yeah, he's a comedian. And that's what everybody goes to. Like, somebody asked me the other day, like, Nate Bargatze, who's doing arenas. He lives here. He's like, hey, can Nate, like, make a video for my, like aunt's birthday?
Yeah.
I go, what?
And I'm the thing is,
that's a wild, but that's...
The thing is, he would, because he's that kind of person.
Yeah,
who would, but realistically,
there's
just a certain level of accessibility. Some people can't give as much anymore, unfortunately.
Yeah, but you do want that.
Of course.
You do want somebody to be like, hey, Matt could meet my mom and we would be friends. And
absolutely.
You would.
Absolutely.
That's why everyone is at my show.
Everybody's mom.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate you coming down, man.
Dude, thanks awesome, for having me.
We're on your team, dude.
You know I'm going back
team.
To bed. You know that,
yeah, right? Going right back to bed. Are you?
100%, dude.
12:45. We're going to the gym.
I'm going to go to the gym this afternoon before the show.
Well, you do work out a bunch.
Every day, if I can. Yeah.
Where? On the road?
Yeah, I mean, it's usually, if the hotel has a nice enough gym, I'll do that. But otherwise, I'll just pick whatever one's like closest, and something like a day pass or something.
Yeah.
I mean, I have an LA Fitness membership. You guys don't have those here,
flex,
do you?
Dude, we don't have LA. Do we?
LA Fitness, I don't think so.
I didn't think, every time I've been here, it's never been around. Dude, I'm not spending $300 for the same heavy shit. Yeah, heavy's see, heavy, same dude. Guy, dude.
Comic is always the comic, dude. A comic goes, nah, that's not my spot.
That's
dude.
So insane.
Is that $300? Yeah.
I will say it's getting to a point now where, like, if I go to a public gym, it's like I do have a hard time getting through a set.
It's a little bit of a thing.
Which I don't mind. Yeah. If you want to come over and say very hi, kind. Do it. But, like, do it when I'm not mid, like,
help. I'm in the middle of this right now. Yeah, yeah.
Like, if you see me put the weight down and I'm just kind of like sitting there, by all means, come say hello. But don't, if you see me get the bar off the rack, don't be like,
that's fine. Yeah. Well, there's like a, it happens to me when there's like this math that you go, I think he's not at the place he should be. Like if you see the person that is like your doctor, but they're at the post office, you're like,
yeah.
So you look, you go, I think that's Matt Rife. And then there's this moment of like looking at the tour schedule.
Oh, or
like,
you ever catch people doing that?
Oh, yeah.
People
looking
at you and they're going,
oh, he's in Omaha. He's, oh, yeah. What's up?
Dude? Yeah.
There's like, because you go, why would we be in Louisville at an LA Fitness? That doesn't make sense. And then you go, somebody's like, oh, he's doing a show. Oh, yeah.
That does have to be weird. Like if a famous person to you was in a place you didn't expect, you'd be like, I got to say what's up, right? Like, because this is so fucking random. Something.
But last thing, we'll end on this. No one has ever has anyone ever in real life said anything mean to you? Like, everybody's confident on the internet. Not one person ever in person has ever told me that I sucked.
No.
Or that my comedy was never, dude.
And here's the thing. You're more than welcome to.
You're
go ahead.
Do it. But nobody would.
But also, if we're in real life, I can put my hands on you. Okay. Just remember that. This is the real world.
If you started it, yeah.
But absolutely.
That wouldn't harm anybody. But
not unless I started it. Then I would for sure harm somebody.
And the special. It's coming out.
It's on YouTube right now. It's
unbelievable.
Free. It's called Matthew Stephen Rife. Go check it out. It's a completely different hour from what I'm doing on the road now. So if you're seeing me later this year, not the same show. Go ahead and watch it.
Great.
Enjoy.
Yeah. And my agent, by the way, sent me like my special was out last year, and he sent mine's on YouTube, and it's like a 2.4 million or something.
That's amazing.
But yours would be like the biggest Netflix specials. Nobody would know that. Like the biggest ones are like 3.5. Like you think Netflix is like 50 million.
No.
Like not the big, like Dave Chappelle will still do like 50 million. Yeah. Kevin Hart will do like 35. Mm. Like the big ones are still the big ones.
Yeah.
The most Netflix specials, because if you go out of the algorithm, then I got to go in and type M.
It's not a searchable
T space. Like to find yours and then to share it. Is now if they put it on, then you can go. But if they, that's why you're like, I'll just do it.
Yeah.
You got a big enough audience, I'll do it.
You own it. It's so the best thing about YouTube is the shareability.
Yeah.
I mean, if I have a special, I can literally just text you the app and you can watch it right now.
Right there.
And you don't have to create an account. You're not paying a monthly fee for it or anything. It's so much more accessible. It's like the power really is in the people's hands.
Really, no, it's in what, when I got canceled, I, like, you know who, like, I was watching something. It's some girl on TikTok. She's like, how come Louis C.K., like, did we just decide he was back now? Like, we just let him. And I go, you know who decided he was back? Comics.
Yeah.
Other comics put him on.
Yeah.
All the biggest pods, Theo, Rogan, and then he was like, oh, like, comics now have the power to put other versus like, I got to wait for the Tonight Show or I got to wait.
Yeah.
Comics can do it for other comics now.
I also hate the idea that people on the internet really think they have the ability to control somebody else's life.
Yeah.
You work at fucking Enterprise and you think you can just determine someone's entire.
Strays, dude.
I love Enterprise. Please hook it up.
Everybody's like an hour and 30 minutes. I love this. Whoa.
It could be somebody with no job who sits at home. Somebody who contributes nothing to society whatsoever.
Yeah.
Thinks they have the ability and the power to to control somebody's entire life. And Chappelle talks about this as well very often. Like, do you have any idea how fucked up it is to try to take someone's livelihood away from them? Like,
it's
that is
wild.
Literally akin to, he says, trying to take away someone's livelihood is akin to killing them. It's everything they've worked for. It's their purpose in life. If you take away someone's purpose and everything they worked for,
they're not allowed to work.
Yeah,
is
because
wild.
You don't think they're funny, or they said some words that hurt your feelings.
Or even they did something that was illegal. Even then, but if you, the system is, if you, there's a legal system or there's a, like you, but you should, like somebody was like, Louis C.K. said one time, all I have left is my birthday. When he was at his darkest.
That's very funny.
Which is like, this is the only thing, they were like, we want Louis C.K. to be in the streets, homeless, begging for money.
That's insane.
That's
dude.
Insane.
How is
dude.
That, the punishment rarely matches the crime anymore.
Rarely.
And yeah, what he did was gross, but you know, where at what point does somebody deserve to lose everything in their entire
we've done shows in prisons and it's like, hey,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was wild. But he goes, hey, I did this, it's 2.5 years
and then I'm free. I am now.
They at least get free.
Yeah, yeah. I have.
But our jokes live forever.
Yeah, I paid for the thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, that's so insane to me. People jokes. Are so dramatic, dude. Yeah, that's why I don't. Dude. I hate the slang. I hate the slang canceled.
Yeah, yeah.
Because like, so, yeah. so over dramatic. What am yeah. I? A Netflix subscription? Yeah. Like you
canceled.
Oh, you yeah. canceled me from the universe. Yeah. I'm fucking done.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Well, now, yeah.
Dragged.
People magazine is like Matt Rife in hot water. I was like. Yep, you. Yeah. You are the one putting him in the hot water.
Yeah.
Like, you're doing the thing.
Also, I've learned to get comfortable in there. Hot water, yeah. bet. It's a bath now.
It's a hot tub.
It's a hot tub. It's, I'm living in hot water. Cool.
I don't even have to tell anybody where to find you on the internet. Just open your For You page.
Yeah, it's probably on there.
You're touring all over.
Yeah, just go to MattReifeOfficial.com. All the shows this year are sold out so far. But we're announcing a bunch of theater shows for the third and fourth quarter of this year. So if there's nothing available now, be patient. Like, I think beginning of May, we're going to release a bunch of shows for September through December. So.
Let's
be
go.
Patient. Watch the special. We'll see you there.
Matt Rife, good to see you, brother.
Dude, thanks
for
having
me. Sure, it was a little weird, but on the net, it was a positive. It was a positive. You cannot be serious. On the net, it's a positive. I mean, yeah, sure, it was a little weird, but on the net, it was a positive. It was a positive. You cannot be serious. On the net, it's a positive.